about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
What you talk about? I'm talking about big things. Big wheels, big cars, and a big chains. I'm only 8 years old. I'm doing big things. French Montana on my track. I'm it, mate.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
We took every precaution we knew how to take to keep that from being on TV. And I personally apologize to you if that happened. Sometimes we see a lot of things that we don't let get to you because it's not time appropriate, it's insensitive, it's just wrong. And that was wrong. And that won't happen again on my watch. And I'm sorry.
Easy peasy lemon squeezy.
And now.
I wouldn't dance for another. Groove is in the high.
Our feature presentation.
Yeah, that's painful. It's a painful way to start right there.
That's Winston from The New Girl.
Ah.
Singing his little Grooves in the Heart song. I love him so much. Hey, party people, what's going on?
I love Little Poopy so much. We need to put that in full rotation.
I miss Little Poopy. Little Poopy was a lot of fun yesterday, wasn't he? Lisa's coming back tomorrow, right? That's
yep.
The plan? Ralph Garman coming back tomorrow?
Yep.
Why does nobody want to work with us, Kevin?
I don't know, but it's been true for a long, long time.
Why is it so difficult for us to keep a staff? What's going on? Beer Mug can't get rid of him, but he's coming back apparently too. So, well, here's a story that everybody was talking about yesterday, and it's actually a nice story, a heartwarming story. I think you'll enjoy this one very much. You know how you hear, and I think, by the way, this is true, not to paint young people with a broad brush, but I think a lot of young people just do not have much work incentive. I don't think there's a tremendous amount of 18-year-olds who are dying to get out there and work hard. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right, right.
And you hear that problem all the time from people who run businesses who have to hire, you know, particularly, you know, working at McDonald's or something like that or any other number of places with minimum wage employees. It's tough to find motivated people who are willing to do the job. It's just a fact of life. People would rather, you know, stay home, play video games and wait to get famous. I mean, that's what most kids are into these days.
That's what I'm into.
And that's why this story is, I think, really capturing the world's imagination. His name is He has a crazy, crazy name. Jaquiel Reagan. Jaquiel is his name, by the way. The most shocking thing about this entire story is that he's a white dude, first of all. His name is Jaquiel.
Jaquiel is a white dude.
J-H-A-Q-U-E-I-L. Jaquiel Reagan is a white dude. He's walking in the snow in Indianapolis where they have had just a brutal winter. And he has already walked 3 miles when he stops to ask directions of a guy named Art Bouvier, who runs a restaurant, a Cajun restaurant in Indianapolis called Paparoo. Art is outside laying rock salt down in the parking lot so that people can park and come to eat at his restaurant. So he says, so the teenager says, hey, I'm looking for this address. I think it's 10th and Post, I think it is. And Art, the owner of the restaurant, says, that's 7 miles from here, dude. You're not going to walk that. It's snowing out. It's freezing.
Right.
He's already walked 3 miles. He's walking another 7 to this location. The restaurant owner says, what's the deal? He says, I'm going for a job interview. I'm walking to a job interview. A minimum wage job interview at Dairy Queen, by the way,
wow,
is where he was walking to. Now, what person, forget 18-year-old, what person walks 10 miles in the snow to interview for a minimum wage job?
These days, no one.
No one, right.
But so, you could also, it seems like you could also, I don't know, there's buses and stuff that don't cost really much of anything.
So Art Bouvier says, son, it's cold out and it's snowing and it's 7 more miles. Why don't you take the bus? And he said, I can't afford to take the bus. I don't have any money. That's why I need a job.
So turns the restaurant owner said, loser, right?
Turns out that Jaquiel,
come on,
his mother died 2 years ago. He dropped out of high school to get his GED and has been trying to support his brothers and sisters. No word on whether a dad is in the picture or not. So the kid just walks away, and the owner continues salting his parking lot, and then he's got to run out and do some errands with his wife. And he 20 minutes later, the kid is still out walking. He passes the kid in the snow. The kid's still walking.
Did he splash him with his tires?
So he pulls over and gives him a ride, takes him to the location, gives him a couple bucks, and then drives away. And then the more he thinks about it, the more he thinks, I can't let this kid go away. So he goes back, finds the kid, and insists that he comes to work at his restaurant. So he ends up hiring the kid for more than double minimum wage working at the Cajun restaurant.
Wow.
So the story has a happy ending. He says, look, you just a kid like that who's willing to go to that extraordinary length to find a job, that's the kind of employee I want. That's the kind of guy who's not going to call in hungover 5 minutes before a shift begins. You know what I mean?
You know what's funny, though, is that since you started telling that story from the very beginning, right when he met him in the parking lot and he said, I have to go 7 miles, I'm going to walk it, I thought, why doesn't that dude just hire him?
That's exactly what that dude did.
But it took him forever. It took him 20 minutes, and then he had to go run some errands, and then he passed him in the car. Then he picked him up and took him to the Dairy Queen. Then he finally struck him. Maybe he should
hire him. He thought at first when the kid asked for the address that it might have been a scam, that he wasn't really walking. He was just trying to get some money. He was hoping – he was afraid that the kid was just, hey, I could share you some bus fare, and he pulled that scam 3 or 4 times, and the kid's got 10 bucks. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So once he saw that it was legit and the kid was really walking, he decided to hire him. So a happy ending. And by the way, Indianapolis has stepped up and given the kid a free bus pass for a year or two.
Wow.
So he's in pretty good shape. So that's a nice story, though, right?
Until tomorrow when he robs that restaurant blind and he takes everything they have.
But really, his name's Jaquiel, and he's white. That's the part
that's the part.
That's the craziest part of all.
That's the deal right there.
So there you go. There's some motivation for you to get you going on a Wednesday.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
You are literally sitting in a puddle of your own pee.
That's true most days. Comedian Ben Hoffman will be on the program talking about The Ben Show on Comedy Central. Don't know if you've seen this. It's quite funny. We have another edition of My Strange Addiction. Which one are we going to do today, Bean? The sand?
Well, she's 19 and she's addicted to eating sand. She puts it on most of her food, puts it on chips.
Actual sand.
Just loves it. Just goes out to the to the park and just picks sand up and takes it home and just snacks on it all day and all night.
You would think, wouldn't that hurt your teeth and the sound? Wouldn't that be terrible? But it seems from this report like that's what she enjoys about it.
That's exactly what she enjoys.
That's crazy.
Been doing it for 5 years.
Oh, man.
She's a sand eater.
Does she have any teeth? Yeah.
Yeah, she looks fine. She looks healthy.
Huh. Maybe we should try that. Brand new citizen of the day. We have Internet Roundup today for you.
Oh, good batch today.
We have Donnie Wahlberg on the program talking about Boston's finest. We have Jeff Probst on the show today talking about Survivor, and he's also now an author, Jeff Probst. He's writing books for young adults. We have Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage. And best movie lines. We're going to take your calls today on the best movie lines of all time. That's coming up this morning as well. We'll take a break, and we will come back with the showbiz beat. That is 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 5:52. That is Of Monsters and Men, and the name of that song is Mountain Sound.
Damn Icelanders coming over here, getting on our radio stations, taking our women. Hey, 5:52 here on a Wednesday morning. Ralph returns tomorrow. In the meantime, we are filling in on the showbiz beat this hour. You know, the continuing world's fascination with the Titanic rolls on now in its second century. That was back in 1912 the Titanic went down.
Yeah, I don't understand this at all.
And people never never really got over it. I guess just because it was, you know, the unsinkable ship and there were so many people lost and it was just something about the way it went down and the tragedy of it. And I don't know, it just seems like...
They were on that piece of wood and it seems like they both could have fit on that piece of wood, but one of them had to sink.
Well, that was the movie, but yeah, the movie has certainly re-stoked interest in the Titanic, certainly in the last 15 years or so. And this news that was announced yesterday, I think, is going to get a lot of Titanic fans excited. I mean, you know, the artifacts from the ship, Kevin, continue to tour the world to, you know, standing room only crowds. People will line up for hours to see the stuff that was pulled from the sea from the Titanic.
I gotta tell you, that's so weird to me.
Well, this guy's name is Clive Palmer. He is an Australian billionaire, and he has unveiled plans yesterday to build the Titanic 2.
Yeah!
Now,
what could go wrong there?
That's exactly the question, isn't it? You don't understand. This ship is unsinkable, though. This ship that he is going to be building is the safest ship in the world, he says.
Sure.
I don't know. I'm not a superstitious person, but I know a lot of people on the sea are. Don't you think there are a lot of people who wouldn't want to be on a ship called the Titanic 2?
Oh, sure.
Right?
Especially if they're saying it can't be sunk.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
They're basically, I mean, it's going to be for people who love the Titanic. It's going to be built. It's going to look like the Titanic. It's going to have that big staircase and everything and those ballrooms and so many of the things that, you know, we know from the movie are all going to be there. You're going to be able to dress in the fashion of the period. They're going to be serving dishes from the original menu.
This sounds like hell. This is, if I go to hell, this is what's going to be happening.
Well, they say it's going to be set for sale in 2016, and more than 40,000 people just in the last 24 hours have already inquired about how they can be on it, how they can take that tour. So isn't that crazy? What a tribute to build a ship called the Titanic II that you can sail, and they're going to do the same route. They're going to do that England to America route that the original
one tried
to do. England
to iceberg route? That one?
Right, exactly. The guy does have a little bit of a sense of humor, though, Mr. Palmer. He said, well, the one good thing about global warming is there aren't nearly as many icebergs as there used to be. So maybe it'll make it this time.
I don't know what's going on at the Academy Awards, but the National Enquirer reports that Rihanna was really worried about the fact that somebody might pull off her long wig that she was wearing. I'm sorry, this is the Grammy Awards. Somebody might pull it off. Now, does that happen a lot?
It happens all the time on Jerry Springer's show.
Right, but Rihanna's not going on Jerry Springer's show. This is the Grammy Awards.
You don't mess with a woman's weave, Kevin. Come on.
She was so worried somebody was going to pull it off that she hired a security guard just to protect her hair. She had a hair guard.
Hmm.
Just to make sure no one ran up and pulled her hair off.
It does seem like that's the type of thing that you could, staple down or something. You could make it fairly secure so that you wouldn't really have to worry about something like that.
But you also don't see ever somebody running up and pulling a star's hair off.
True.
It just doesn't happen.
That is an unusual concern.
Which is weird. Yeah, like, what's going on that she's that worried she hires a security guard?
Right. I don't know how much money Ace Frehley has made over the years, but he was the original guitarist for the band Kiss. He was with them for a long time in their early money-making years. I mean, he was with them long enough to make millions and millions and millions of dollars. Then, of course, he famously was fired and then reunited and went on a couple of world tours and made, I assume, tons more money. Well, now he is so broke that he has not paid a penny toward his mortgage in the last 2 years.
Wow.
His house is going to be foreclosed on. He also has liens on him for all sorts of taxes, for county taxes, for state taxes, for federal taxes. Hasn't made any payments since 2011 and may lose his house. And, you know, the way these things go, may go to jail. I always think it's fascinating. I mean, you know, it's true of lots of people who make a large amount of money for a period of time. It's easy to have that go away, isn't it?
Oh, sure. Yeah, you can go through a lot.
Even if you're making millions and millions and millions. I was thinking about that 30 for 30 show that we saw called Broke, where they interviewed all those professional athletes who were making, you know, $20 million in a year, and now they literally can't afford rent.
Yep.
Just make enough bad choices, and you're going to end up like that. But it's just crazy. You would think a guy like him, a guy who, you know, has been in a band for on and off for 40 years, you'd think he'd have enough money to pay his mortgage. But nope, even Ace is in trouble.
I wouldn't think he would even have a mortgage. I mean, wouldn't you think a guy like that would just pay it off at some point so that at least he had that?
Yes. Oh, great point.
This is a strange world. Again, porn has taken away a Miss, in this case, Delaware teen. Miss Delaware Teen USA, Melissa King, has given up her crown. She just won it. She is 18, apparently, or 19. She's very, very, very young. She still has to be a teen to be a Miss Teen, right?
But she's old enough, though.
Yes, she's old enough that she had a porn come out, and the rep said that for her, that said it wasn't her in the Triple X, it just looks like her. And the fact that she said that her 18th birthday was a month ago is precisely when this girl's birthday was, Melissa King. But it still wasn't her. And then she tendered her resignation and said, sorry, I've already had a scandal.
So she can't be Miss Delaware Teen because she did porn.
Correct.
But I'm Delaware just saying, is no friend of mine.
She is really, really speeding through life, don't you think?
She's already, yes, she is.
Already had a porn career and then has been labeled a beauty queen and then had that taken away from her all before she's 20.
Yeah. You said she was giving up her crown. Is that also the name of the movie? Because that would be.
I don't know.
And is that a sex move? I don't even know what giving up the crown means.
I don't think so, no.
Carrie Fisher is in the news. You know, we talked about her a couple of weeks ago when the word came out that a new Star Wars film was going to be made. And, first we heard that Harrison Ford was coming back. Then we heard they were talking to Mark Hamill to reprise his role as Luke Skywalker. And then we heard, I think Ralph was just talking Monday, that Carrie Fisher would be coming back as Princess Leia, it looks like. Well, I don't know. They may want to rethink that because she was on a cruise ship, the Holland America Eurodam, the other day. She was the special celebrity guest. And we got to get Omar to pull some video of this because I heard a little bit of this yesterday. It seemed like she was smashed when she was up on stage in front of everybody.
Fantastic.
She was singing songs and slurring through them and just rambling on. And she had her dog with her, and her dog came out and pooped on the stage.
Yeah.
And it was just, it was unfortunate. Look, we had Carrie Fisher on our show a couple of months ago, remember? And she was a great guest.
Yes, she was.
Sounded, fine. A lot of fun. Her people, by the way, and of course there is a viral video of this because there's, you know, somebody's always got a camera. Her people say that she has a bipolar disorder and was just having a medical incident having to do with her medication.
Me too. Yeah. Me too. Me too.
And that she wasn't drunk at all. In fact, I think, I'm not 100% sure on this, but I think that she is famously sober. I think she has been to rehab a bunch of times and doesn't drink anymore. Or at least that's what we've been told. But if you saw this video, you would say drunk, drunk, drunk. That's for sure. But I don't know anything about bipolar, but can something like that happen if your medicine gets a little bit out of whack?
I don't know.
Can you appear to be drunk?
I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know about that either. But anyway, so her people say she's totally fine. They've adjusted her medication. She's seen a doctor, and she's much better now. But that's not what she was hoping for.
No, I doubt it. Celebrity birthdays, actress Kate Mara from American Horror Story in 127 Hours is 30 years old.
And House of Cards.
And House of Cards, sorry.
She's the journalist on House of Cards, which we're both watching, which is so awesome, people. Get on Netflix.
That is good. It's only on Netflix, so have to go there to find it. The drummer for Cage the Elephant, Jared Champion, is 30 years old. Singer Josh Groban is 32. You may not like his music, but he's got a great sense of humor. I've seen him on Jimmy Kimmel.
He's hilarious.
He's done a lot of stuff on Kimmel, and he's a funny, funny guy. TV journalist and former first daughter. See if this doesn't make you feel old if you know Chelsea Clinton is 33 years old.
No.
Chelsea Clinton, 33, unless this is a misprint.
Wow.
That's shocking.
Is possible, I guess, but wow.
Atlanta Falcons tight end is Tony Gonzalez. He is 37 years old. Chili from TLC is 42. Actor Donald Logue, who was in Knights of Property and Grounded for Life, is 47 years old. But the reason we get up today, ladies and gentlemen, former Basketball Hall of Famer, current Basketball Hall of Famer, I should say, former Laker, James Worthy, is 52 years old today, and that is your showbiz. Radioactive! 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8 minutes after 6 o'clock.
We want to send you to go see Fun, period, in London, England. That's K-Rock's World Tour 2013, destination number 7. We have been bringing it in 2013, by the way, sending people just everywhere, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
The place. See all the great bands all over the world. You can listen at 9:10 again this morning. We'll give you a bunch of chances to score the latest Fun album called Some Nights that won them a couple of Grammys. Then you'll be on the standby boarding list. You can get those details at KROQ.com. But again, that's at 9:10 this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Then at 12:10, 3:10, and 6:10, lots of chances to win here on good old K-Rock.
Right now it's time for...
And now it's time for you to meet Kevin and Bean's Citizen of the Day.
Florida.
Not Florida.
Not Florida. Wow. Okay. All right.
I have one that is sort of a strange one for a citizen of the day, but I don't know if you saw the story yesterday. I'm sure you did. It was everywhere. Dennis Rodman.
Yes.
Is the United States' latest diplomat, in quotes, to North Korea.
As you
know, North Korea is completely cut off from Western civilization in every way.
Yeah, we've got nothing but sanctions against them. I didn't think we did any kind of even this sort of thing, this, entertainment business stuff.
But apparently some of the Harlem Globetrotters went, and then so did Dennis Rodman. And I saw some video of it on the news last night, and I thought, wow, is that what we want them to think about America? Like, Dennis Rodman, is that the... Because they probably don't know anything except for what they've been spoon-fed by their leadership, right?
Right, right.
So they know nothing about America. So here shows up Dennis Rodman. He's got all his piercings and everything still, and he's meeting Kim Jong the third or whoever's in charge over there now.
Kim Jong-un.
Whoever. And then I thought, yeah, yes it is, because I want them to fear us. So you see Dennis Rodman. The guy looks like a monster. He looks like animal. He's compared to them... Compared to how buttoned up they are and how
He's Godzilla. He's Godzilla to them.
Right.
But then he opens his mouth, and they're going to think all Americans are stupid, and they're going to think we're easy to take over.
Well, there's that. There is that as well. The next one comes from Ohio. This is a man facing aggravated arson charge after allegedly setting a clothing rack on fire inside a Walmart. Now, the strange thing here is that the guy would set clothes on fire. Everybody would rush there, and then he would shoplift and get out.
Oh, create a diversion. Yes. Eyes go elsewhere, and then you do what you like on the other side of the building.
During the mayhem, he would escape. The thing is, he was riding a motorized shopping cart inside the Walmart, and I saw a news piece of this, and I swear to God, this cart goes at top speed. You could walk past it 17 times. Like, it barely moves. So he has to set these giant fires, and he's like, he's gotten 2 feet. 3 feet.
It's not the fastest getaway vehicle on earth.
He is 500 pounds.
Well, that's why the thing's moving so slowly.
500 pounds, and he's shoplifting.
Wow.
How awesome is that? Here's a guy who got his tax refund. He got $1,000 in cash at his tax refund. Very excited about it in Texas. And he went to the police and he told them, hey, I got a real problem here. There were a couple of pickup trucks and they stopped by and they had automatic machine guns and they robbed me of my $1,000. And the police said, wow, let us get right on that. And they started following up the leads and they couldn't find it. They couldn't find these trucks. They couldn't find any eyewitnesses. They had no information about it. So they went back to Jesus, who's this guy that had the $1,000 refund. And they said, we found no evidence of any trucks or anybody with guns that took your money. And he said, that's because I spent it all at a strip club called Whispers. So what he did was he got the $1,000. He's married. He went to Whispers Strip Club, spent all of it, and then made up the story that he got beaten up and robbed.
Because he wanted to have a story to tell his wife.
He couldn't go home and tell her that he wasted the $1,000 at a strip club.
Wow. This is why you don't tell your wife when you get a tax refund, boys.
Right. He was arrested and charged now with filing a false report, which is so much worse than just losing that.
Overall, though, I still think if you spend $1,000 at a strip club, and at the end of the night, you've had a pretty good time.
Well, I would think so, too, but doesn't it seem like you could get something real for that money? If you know what I'm saying, doesn't it seem like perhaps...
Yes. Yes, it does.
I don't know. I'm just saying. $1,000.
Yeah.
And finally, a couple of guys. This is a bizarre story. I don't know why the reporter is so lame. You know, there's a bunch of stories on the internet now where they have, like, really terrible people who read stories. Like, if I were to read stories on the internet, you'd go, what's wrong with that guy?
Right. Don't put this guy in front of a microphone.
Right, exactly. That's what this guy sounds like. And for some reason, they got a slow jam behind it. But listen to this story. It's the final Kevin and Bean Citizen of the Day.
Recently, cops in New York pulled over a 2005 Mitsubishi for having a dirty license plate and an obstructed view. When the two officers got close to the car, they detected the telltale scent of marijuana.
Okay, so dirty windows and no license plate.
All right.
They pull them over. They smell the weed. They go, all right, everybody out.
And asked the 32-year-old driver if they could search the vehicle. Although nothing was found, the cops discovered the car occupants had outstanding traffic warrants on them. Both driver and passenger were taken to the station where a bodily search was conducted.
Okay, so he said that they could search the car because there was nothing in the car.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry about that. But then they took him in for the outstanding warrant, and then they did a body search. And this is where it gets good.
Shockingly, the driver, who was said to be a member of a street gang, had hidden 100 bags of heroin inside his...
Hello!
100 bags of heroin.
And by the way, anus is the word that's beeped there in case you're wondering where he put the drugs.
Yeah, what do you think, it's ear? That's the only place on a guy.
Wow.
100 bags of heroin.
Wow. Wow.
How does that... I know maybe they're small bags, but how do you get to 50 and go, I got to keep packing?
Right?
I am not full enough. Maybe he had his friend. There were two guys. Maybe he had his friend help. He's like, come on, just push. I'm telling you, I've done it before.
They were both charged with possession of heroin with intent to sell.
Now you know, Kevin and Beans. Citizen of the Day.
Got a lot of program for you here today on a Wednesday, including our friend Jeff Probst from Survivor. Adam Carolla is going to be on the show today, and Donnie Wahlberg. Talk about, I wish we could get Donnie Wahlberg in here. Talk about a guy who's had a fascinating life, by the way.
No kidding.
How many teen idols grow up to be as successful as he is as an adult actor? You don't see that very often. Usually they're gone. You know, usually they're just in rehab or dead by the time they get to be Wahlberg's age.
It does seem like it's 2 to 3%. I mean, it's yeah. Still a very small percentage.
So anyway, excited about having him on and about his new reality show all about the Boston PD. That's coming up. First, though, we want to take care of some emails. We do get a lot of great response from you. There are a ton of different ways you can reach the Kevin and Bean Show. You can always hit us up on Twitter, at Kevin and Bean. Of course, the Kevin and Bean Facebook page is very popular. A lot of people like to go on there so they can chat with other Kevin and Bean fans. Of course, krock.com and kevinandbean.com. You can always email any of us. Here's a perfect example of why I'm glad we do email. Because every listener is different. Hey, Kevin and Bean, I'm a longtime fan of the show for 10 years now. My sister recently introduced me to the podcast a couple of months back, so I listen religiously. Never miss a show.
Thank you for that, first of all,
because you can get the podcast at krock.com or kevinandbean.com, or you can just subscribe on iTunes, which is probably the easiest way to do. And then every day around you know, noon, 1 o'clock or something like that, you've got an episode.
Three, four, 5 o'clock.
Whatever time it gets to. Anyway, I've been burning through the shows trying to catch up on everything I missed, and I love it, except when Joe Rogan comes on.
What?
I hate that guy. He's so arrogant.
If you can
make note of that somewhere in the show, because seriously, F Joe Rogan. I want you to ask Dr. Drew to give him the Kovar Star Cottaway King McCready treatment.
What?
Which, by the way, is a hilarious way to say it. Have a beautiful day, my brother. P.S. Seriously, F that guy. Now, the reason I want to bring this up is not just, and thank you for the email, Caped Crusader. It's not just that you're wrong, because Joe Rogan is one of our all-time favorite guests, because he's a fascinating dude, because he's super smart, he's super interesting, and he's super funny. Okay, so let's just start by saying you're wrong.
To us, he's an A+.
He's a great guest. We're always grateful to have him. But the reason I wanted to read this email is because we get complaints like this about everything that we do on this show.
Yeah.
How about the Afro call we played yesterday from the woman who says, I hate The Walking Dead, and
right.
I hate it when you talk about – well, look, lots of people like The Walking Dead. Lots of people like Joe Rogan. Not everybody is going to like every single thing that's on every single show. But here's the thing about the Kevin and Bean Show, at least. We're not doing the same thing every day, all day. So if you don't like it – you'll be fine. In 10 minutes, we'll be doing something else.
And the other thing is, a lot of companies now fold immediately with one complaint. To you, we say noted. And we'll have him in as soon as we can again.
Exactly. Maybe we'll give you a call at home, Cape Crusader. You can talk it out with Joe.
We did a, really a horrible topic yesterday, I believe. And that is, you destroyed something with your ass. Ass destruction.
This is people who stopped up a toilet and the destruction that followed.
I was 17 years old on a date on my way home from a restaurant to the theater and had a tragic accident. Ran into the bathroom, lost it, came out. My boyfriend was gone. Had to call my parents to come get me. Can you imagine having to call your parents?
That is not a good date.
What happened, honey? I don't know. He just left. It had nothing to do with my butt.
Oh, my God.
Hang on. I have one more. And this
is a terrible date.
This is the same topic, unfortunately, but more extreme than anything I've seen. This guy, James, who lives in Manhattan Beach, says, I know you're done with this segment, but I've been listening for years and even was able to do so when living in Australia. The bathroom story takes place on a sailboat over Catalina during a yacht race. It seems that somebody had done their business on board and happened to make an overboard pipe break on the boat. Seawater had been pouring in from the broken pipe, and no one noticed there was a problem until there was 6 feet of poo water in the bilge.
Oh.
It was beginning to come up through the floorboards in the salon, and then we knew we had a big problem. Now, I don't want to read you all the details, but they all had to pitch in and tear up the floor of the boat so they could get down to the part that was leaking the seawater in. Otherwise, the boat would sink.
Wow.
We saved the boat, but the captain had issued a call for assistance, and a rescue boat had come out from Avalon. When help arrived, they wanted nothing to do with us after seeing our problem, and we had to go about cleaning up our mess ourselves. Best regard, James.
Oh, my God. That's way too much poop.
Yep.
Way too much poop. All right, please, let's change subjects. We had a topic a couple of days ago about the dumbest ways that you injure yourself. We got so many great emails on this, but this one may take the cake for just being the strangest. I was catching up with a podcast, heard you guys talk about the dumb ways you hurt yourself. I had to tell you about my fiance. When she was about five or so, she and her dad were in the kitchen. He was making her a microwavable burrito. Once it was done, he put it on the counter to cool off. She tells me that for some dumb reason, he karate chopped the burrito. A bean flew out and landed on her little toe, giving her a second-degree burn.
Who that's gets a serious injured? Burn.
Yes, that is. You go to the hospital for that. Who gets injured by a bean from a burrito that's being karate chopped by your dad?
Who karate chops a burrito?
That's just insane.
Like, at what point do you think there's a burrito must karate chop?
And then how bad do you feel after you send your little girl to the hospital?
How did it happen? I karate chopped her.
And two more very short follow-ups from recent Kevin and Bean topics. We were doing I Knew I Was Broke When. Remember that topic
sure.
A couple of days ago? People who realized that they just were so broke they couldn't even believe how their life turned out. Well, I heard the podcast from this week. I was so broke in college that for a two-week period, my only source of food was from wild mushrooms. To clarify, in other words, she was only eating what she could pick. To clarify, those were morel mushrooms. They are edible, not psychedelic. I am fully capable of distinguishing which mushrooms are edible and which are poisonous. And that's what she was living on. She was eating mushrooms to stay alive. That's broke, my friends.
No kidding.
And finally, one more left over. And again, you can email any of us. All the email addresses are at the website. But generally, it's whoever you're trying to get in touch with, like Kevin at KROQ.com or Lisa at KROQ.com, Beat at KROQ.com. Joe writes in following up on our Valentine's Day discussion about the worst gift you ever got for Valentine's Day. Dear Kevin and Bean, love the show. I gave my wife a vibrator for Valentine's Day 1 year, and boy, was she offended. She was so mad at me and saying how inconsiderate I was. A week later, she says it was the best gift she ever got.
Ha!
Joe. Thanks for writing.
I have one final one here, and it is somebody who was questioning our clips from the Academy Awards. I brought in highlights. And they said the Anne Hathaway song sounded like Wing. That's weird, right? So I pulled up the Anne Hathaway clip just to see that we featured on Monday.
I had a dream my life would be.
And this was her singing, of course, from Les Mis on the show.
Right.
So different from this hell I'm living.
No,
so
that's... That's Anne Hathaway. That's the performance that won her the Oscar.
So I'm pretty sure that's her.
That's crazy if she thinks that sounds like Wing.
What a moving performance, huh?
Yeah, it was beautiful. No, it was real nice.
Internet roundup coming. Yeah, a woman who eats sand a little later today. Sand in her mouth and chews it right up.
Yeah, she sure does. It sure is crunchy, man. If you've got a thing about that sound of what sand eat, the sound of somebody eating sand, if that drives you crazy,
which I do,
you are going to have trouble with this piece of tape we got coming up. It is something else.
And that's what she likes about it.
Yeah, she loves the texture, too. TLC's My Strange Addiction is back. We've got that for you. And we're also going to talk about the greatest movie lines of all time. Interesting list out. All right, first, though, thanks a lot for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Wednesday. Time for a brand new Internet Roundup.
Yeah! Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Inexplicably, Kevin is not a Taylor Swift fan. Now, I can't get my head around how anyone could not love Taylor Swift.
I'm sorry, Kadolf Swindler? God, she's annoying.
She's the best.
She's
first
fake,
of all.
She's childish. She's
and
always
I love
like
her.
Oh, I can't believe it.
And she's unbelievably talented, and I love
and
all
she
of her
writes songs.
Songs
like Second Graders, I Hate You Because You're Mean to Me.
I'm about to turn that frown upside down, Kevin. You're about to love Taylor Swift because somebody has made a montage now of Taylor Swift's big number one hit, I Knew You Were Trouble, and put it together with the sound of a goat that sounds like a human. Yes, here's the Taylor Swift goat remix.
Now I'm lying on the cold, hard ground.
So,
well
now you're
done.
Now you're in.
Now I'm half in. If we could take off Kadolf Swindler and just have the goat, that's a fantastic song.
By the way, there's apparently a lot of those going around. There's one with Bon Jovi and a goat. I don't know why the goat is like the most popular singer.
The goats that yell like people are the best.
All right. There's a million videos on YouTube that are instructional videos, people showing people how to do things. This is, I mean, it's one of the great things about YouTube is that you, if you ever, hey, I don't know how to change the oil in my car, just type on YouTube, how do I change the oil in my car? And somebody will put an instructional video up.
I've done that with like editing video. I don't know how to do this with this program. And like an 8-year-old comes up and gives me advice. I'm like, this kid's smarter than I am and he's 8.
There's almost nothing you can't find out how to do on YouTube.
Right.
And one of the ones that I guess there's a category that's very popular is makeup and hair tips. People are crazy about stuff like this. How do I get that look? Well, here's a girl who's making a tutorial video, and she's showing how to curl her hair with her curling iron. When you hear in the video when she goes, it's because the curling iron has burned through her hair, and she lost about an 8-inch chunk of hair as she stares in the mirror trying to figure out what happened.
So basically, if you want like medium curls, then take a piece about this big, maybe like,
then count 20 or longer.
Oh my god! Kidding me? My hair was burnt off.
My hair was burnt off. She's awfully calm for somebody who just burned off such a giant chunk of her hair, because isn't that about as bad a thing that can happen to a teenage girl?
I imagine. It was an 8-inch piece of hair.
Yeah, yeah. She lost it. I mean, but she didn't lose it in the way that I expected she would, which is she's just, you know, screaming and shouting. She actually took it pretty well, but it's really funny to see it happen. A couple of great rap parodies for you. You know, of course, the big number one song, Thrift Shop, that we play here on K-Rock. Well, somebody has turned that into, and they did a great job with the video, too, to Pot Shop.
I'm gonna smoke some weed. You only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a huntin', looking for a pot shop. This is awesome.
Walked into my house like, what up, I got some good pot. I'm just pumped up, got some herb from the pot shop. Ice in my fridge, it used to be frosty. My friend's like, damn, that's a stoned-ass donkey.
Rolling in. Really, really well done. And the epic rap battles are history are back. This is when they take historical figures and they fight with each other in rap. This one is Mahatma Gandhi from India and our own Martin Luther King Jr. Again, very funny.
Everything you preach, I said it first. You should jot down these words, plagiarize my whole verse. Leave your thoughts on the door like the real Martin Luther. I'm not thinking you shall overcome this, Junior.
I'm the king of civil rights from the city to suburbia. No shoes, no shirt, but I'm still gonna serve. Make you swallow your words so you can break the fast. And thank God Almighty you can eat at last.
That's how they should be teaching history in school, by the way.
I agree.
That's awesome. And Key and Peele from Comedy Central are the guest rappers in that video, by the way. It's very funny. All right. Jimmy Kimmel, who, as you know, has the hardest working staff in show business. The poor things that he makes the people in his back rooms do to make these video montages that they put together on his show. He decided to have somebody count how many times the word amazing was used on the red carpet at the Oscars on Sunday.
Oh, man.
Amazing is one of those words that used to mean one thing, which was something that's almost unbelievable. It's so rare and so infrequent. Now everything's amazing. Now, hey, I just went to Subway. It was amazing. Everything's amazing now. And nowhere is that more true than when you hear interviews on the Oscar red carpet. How many times do you think, by the way, they said amazing on the red carpet before the Academy Awards, Kevin?
I don't know, 40 or 50?
Well, let's listen to a clip from Jimmy Kimmel's video.
Amazing. Amazing. Amazing.
You were amazing.
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 It goes on like that for a long time.
We might need a new word.
101 amazing.
Wow.
101. Bad lip readers are back. These people are incredible. They did a montage of movies from the Independent Spirit Awards, including the one you're about to hear. Remember the scene in Silver Linings Playbook where Jennifer Lawrence and Bradley Cooper go into the diner and they're having that conversation when they go out on that first date?
Yes.
Well, it looks like they're saying this. This isn't what they're really saying in the movie, but it looks so unbelievable when you watch this video. Check it out.
I have Taylor Swift in a big coffin. She wanted to fight me.
She wanted to fight you?
She was a firewalker.
What do you mean?
She has 5 legs. And she drooled on my couch.
No, that's gross.
Yes, it is.
They didn't say any of those things in the movie, by the way.
But when you watch it, you'll think... You'll find it hard to believe they said something else.
Yeah,
other than
it's pretty incredible.
It's so perfect.
All right, two more for the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup, which you can see at KRock.com. This one's called Kayla Loves the Moon. This is the cutest video in the whole Roundup. She's about, I don't know, how old is this girl? She's three, maybe?
Two or three.
She sees the moon in the sky and wants to touch it. And her dad is encouraging her on video to try to touch the moon. And it's very confusing for her why it doesn't work.
The A-hole's like, jump, jump.
Moon, the moon, the moon. See? The moon.
Where's the moon?
Look.
Can you get it?
I can't reach it.
You can't reach it?
I can't reach it.
Say goodbye, moon.
Oh, so sad. It's so cute. She can't reach the moon.
Bye, moon.
And finally, I don't remember what language this is in. It's some Asian television program, and I think she's teaching us about science, and she's teaching us about oxygen, but I love when this stuff gets captured on video. She's hosting the program, talking into the camera, and she just faints, just collapses backwards and falls into the set.
It's cool. You see her eyes roll back in her head. I think Dave said it was Croatian.
Croatian. It's very funny. Check it out. Bye, moon. Goodbye, moon. You can see all these videos and so much more. It's a brand new internet roundup at KevinAndBean.com. Saturday. K-Rock takes over Santa Anita Park. Here's a VIP package for you to hang out with our man Stryker, who, by the way, I think is going to be here next hour.
That's right.
Some showbiz beat for us. Also, the beautiful Kat Corbett, Nicole Alvarez, Lightning, Omar, Dave, the King of Mexico at the K-Rock Infield Concert featuring the band Youngblood Hawk. All that free for you right now if you want to give us a call at 1-800-520-1067. We'll make it caller 20 this hour, 1-800-520-1067. You can be at Santa Anita VIP package this Saturday from the world-famous K-Rock.
Nice sound effectage.
Thank you.
Hey, for people listening yesterday, about 10 minutes from now, just after 7 a.m., Bean gave us a sex quiz, and I just wanted to play the highlight, I think, of that break.
And now, a moment with Bean.
Average number of movie titles in which female porn stars star as women.
That was a moment with Bean.
No, I'm standing by that. That came out of... Exactly as I hoped it would.
And then being mad at us because we didn't understand the question.
We already have time for a couple of show business stories, but I do want to make sure we get this update on the air. Last hour, we talked about what Princess Leia was up to. Actress Carrie Fisher was a surprise celebrity guest on a Holland America Eurodam cruise ship. And I don't know what Carrie does. I guess she has some sort of a stand-up act, or she tells stories about her career or something like that based on her best-selling books. But she appeared to be smashed. And I told you last hour that she was singing and slurring and telling stories and that her dog came up on stage and pooped. And I said that there was there was video. Somebody did shoot video of what she sounded like. And I believe we have a little bit of that for you now. Am I wrong about that?
No, here it is.
Valley green with spring. Where am I going to push? To a blossom covered lane, and in your lonely night.
What's happening?
Heavenly music. Haven't you heard the music of the night?
That does not sound
wonderful
like a good show.
Music, faint as a will-o-wisp.
Okay, I think we got the gist. We got the gist of that. A crew member took that video. She sounds smashed, right?
I had somebody tweet me that if you mix any alcohol with the drugs for her particular problem,
bipolar, right?
Mm-hmm. Any alcohol will make you sound like that.
That's what happens.
We don't know that that's what happened, but that's certainly what it sounds like.
Well, her representative says she has a bipolar disorder and was having a medical incident, which isn't, you know, categorically denying that she did, in fact, mix it with alcohol. So perhaps that's exactly what happened. But she did go to the hospital briefly. They say she adjusted her medicine and is feeling much better now. So, of course, we wish the best Carrie Fisher. I mean, there's a lot of talk that she's going to be in the next Star Wars movie. So I hope she stays well.
I have one story that I must fit in because... Justin Bieber, it must be difficult to top yourself in the douchebag area. You know what I mean? Like, once you're a gigantic douchebag, what do you do to top yourself? Do you remember Michael Jackson when he used to go out and shop and he used to wear that surgical mask?
Sure.
He always wore it over his nose and mouth. And you never knew exactly why. Was he worried about germs or was his nose not there? I
think that's what was going on with him, is that his nose was so far gone from all the plastic surgery that he wanted to cover it because it looked so bad.
Radar Online spotted Justin Bieber doing some shopping in London dressed in all black, complete with a gas mask. An entire gas mask.
Hey, dude, maybe he's planning a casino heist. You ever think about that?
But he's in all black, and he's got all of his big black security guards. There's never been a bigger look at me than Justin Bieber in a gas mask going shopping.
That's not the way you blend in. If the goal of a disguise is so that you can move around freely without attracting attention, a gas mask is not the way to do that.
But see, that's not his goal.
What do you think his goal is?
Hey, look at me.
He doesn't need any more hey, look at me. He already couldn't be looked at more than he is. There's already 100 cameras on him every day. How could he be more hey, look at me?
There's no other answer for it, Bean. There's no possible way he's trying to not be seen.
I don't know what he's doing.
You saw the picture.
I saw the picture.
I just tweeted it out.
It's him in a gas mask.
I just tweeted it out, at the Kevin Ryder, R-Y-D-E-R, and it's him in a gas mask with all of his security guards, and there's no possible way you could walk by and go, nothing to see there. Right?
I don't get it.
What a dumb douchebag.
I don't get it either. Today's celebrity birthdays. Basketball Hall of Famer James Big Game Worthy turns 52 years old today. Still active in basketball in the announcing booth.
Well, announcer, yeah.
Actor Donald Logue is 47 years old today. Chili from TLC is 42. I think Dave only wanted us to congratulate Tony Gonzalez on his 37th birthday because it's his favorite NFL player. Not that there's any other reason we would be.
He's a pretty good one, though.
He's a great
player. He's on the
player.
Atlanta Falcons.
So and I do hope he comes back for another game and another season, rather, and has a chance finally to win a Super Bowl. Chelsea Clinton turns 33. She does journalism now. She's with NBC News. Singer Josh Groban, one of the biggest selling recording artists in the world, is 32 years old today. Cage the Elephant's drummer Jared Champion is 30. And one of the stars of the awesome House of Cards on Netflix. She's also been in 127 Hours, American Horror Story. Her sister is the girl with the dragon tattoo. Actress Kate Mara turns 30 today, and that's the showbiz. Got a real-life new kid on the block joining us in about a half an hour or so here on the Kevin Amici Show. Actor Donnie Wahlberg from Blue Bloods and also the producer of a new show about the Boston PD that looks awesome. We'll talk to Donnie coming up. First, though, I thought this was super interesting, you guys. Aaron Sorkin, who's one of the greatest writers of all time, creator of The West Wing. Look, if he did nothing else but create The West Wing, he would have my eternal respect. He, of course, is also the guy behind The Newsroom, the current show on HBO. He wrote A Few Good Men. I mean, he's just had an amazing career. And TMZ's photographer, cameraman, caught up with him the other day outside a nightclub and asked him a very interesting question that I think starts a great conversation here.
What is one of your favorite movie lines of all time?
We're going to need a bigger boat.
All right.
Best movie line ever.
Thank you, sir.
Wow, that was quick.
Isn't that interesting? Like, right off the top of his head, he's got it. That's, of course, the famous line from Jaws. We're going to need a bigger boat once they see how big the shark is. And I thought, I guess everybody has lots of lines that they like from movies, but how do you have one just off the top of your head that you're willing to say is the best? Because that's almost impossible to narrow down because there are so many great ones, right?
Yeah, and especially when you're surprised with the question. You're surprised, like it was just out of nowhere. The guy said, what's your favorite line? To have it at the ready like that is crazy.
Yeah, I was pretty impressed. But that got us talking about great movie lines of all time. And we thought that might be a super fun topic to have you give us a call and tell us what line it is that you think, if you were to be asked, and you are being asked, what's your favorite movie line of all time? What would it be? Give us a call, 1-800-520-1067. I was thinking about this since we knew we were going to do this topic, and I think mine is from a movie that wasn't huge. It was a David Mamet movie called State and Maine. Philip Seymour Hoffman was in it. Alec Baldwin was in it. I don't even know if you even saw it. Did you, Kevin? Does that sound familiar to you?
I don't know yet.
It was about a movie crew in a small town like in New England somewhere making a movie and all the hijinks that happen on the movie set. And it has a scene that I just love so much where Alec Baldwin is drunk. And he is driving and he flips his car in the town's intersection, in the middle of the town. He flips his car and Philip Seymour Hoffman hears the crash and comes running outside to help Alec Baldwin out of the car. And Alec Baldwin, who's just gone through this horrific accident, gets out of the car and says, so that happened.
Oh, that was I did see that. Because I remember thinking, how understated was that line?
And that just slayed me. First of all, Alec Baldwin has the best comic delivery. So that happened is just like the last thing you would expect somebody to say after they just flipped a car. And to me, I think that's my favorite line of all time.
Mine's from Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. This is, 1980? 8, I want to say, something like that. But it's Steve Martin and John Candy, and they're forced to share a motel room. And in the mornings, they're kind of snuggling, and Steve Martin says to John Candy, "Why did you just kiss my ear?" And John Candy says, "I don't know." And then Steve Martin, his eyes open up, and he goes, "Where's your other hand?" And John Candy says, "Between two pillows." And Steve Martin jumps out of bed and goes, "Those aren't pillows!" See, because it was his butt cheeks.
By the way,
that's mine.
That entire movie is the greatest movie lines of all time.
Yeah, it's got a lot.
There's nothing but great lines in that movie. All right, how about Chip, who mercifully is filling in for Beer Mug this week? Do you have anything to add to the greatest movie lines of all time?
I think one of my favorite all-time movies is Ghostbusters, and the scene where the Ghostbusters are on the roof and they're battling Gozer the Gozerian, and she asks, "Are you a god?" And Dan Aykroyd goes, "Well, no." And so she, you know, blasts her with her electricity. And Ernie Hudson goes, "Ray, if someone asks if you're a god, you say yes.
That's another movie that's chock full
There's
of great.
100 good lines in that movie.
We're going to take your telephone calls at 1-800-520-1067. We actually have tape on a couple of these. I think Omar went through the AFI, the American Film Institute. I think he went through their list of the top 100 movie lines of all time, because they did a survey just like this a couple of years ago. You have a couple of those for us?
I do. I have this.
"My mom always said, life was like a box of chocolates."
Yeah, that's a classic. I mean, I never, ever want to hear it again. That was number 40 on the AFI list. Forrest Gump from 1994.
Godfather.
"Want to make him an offer he can't refuse."
Number 2 on the AFI list.
That was number 2.
The Godfather from 1972. Yep, Marlon Brando.
Taxi Driver. This is one you may not even have seen the movie, but you've heard other people do this line.
"You talking to me? You talking to me?"
That's Robert De Niro standing in front of the mirror, Taxi Driver, 1976. And I heard the legend was that he ad-libbed that, by the way. That was not
in
the script. That's just something that he said, which, of course, yeah, you're right. It's been parodied like a billion times since then.
Here's another one that's been parodied a billion times, and maybe you've heard it, but you didn't see the original in Scarface, which is a great movie starring Al Pacino. But he says,
"Do you want to play rough? Okay.
No.
Say hello to my little friend."
You probably heard that line everywhere, but that's where it came from.
It's hard to imagine that there was a world in which that line didn't already exist.
That's true.
Is that something you've been hearing your whole life? All right, let's take a couple calls. 1-800-520-1067. What is your favorite movie line of all time? We'll just get through as many as we can. Let's go to Mike. Mike is going to get us started here on line 8. Hi, Mike. Thanks a lot for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What's up?
"Hey, guys. Anchorman, go after yourself, San Diego."
Absolutely. Anchorman is another one of those that's chock full. You could pick 15 different lines from that movie.
You sure could. Let's go to Karen. Karen is on line 7. Karen, thanks for calling. What's the greatest movie line of all time?
"Nobody put baby in a corner."
Dirty Dancing. There you go. Dirty Dancing. Yep.
Sure.
It's funny. Thank you for the call. It's funny that some of these lines are just like you talked about, Kevin. Even if you've never seen the movie, you still know the line because it's so famous. Sergio is on line 1. Hi, Sergio. Thanks for calling the Kevin Bean Show. Best movie line of all time.
"Luke, I am your father."
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
Not only a great line, but an unbelievable scene, and it's kind of, spoiler alert here, it kind of is the pivotal scene in all of the Star Wars movies. It's like the biggest moment in one of the biggest franchises of all time, right? By the way, May the Force Be With You is on the AFI list as one of the greatest lines of all time. It came in at number 8. Also another great line.
All right, we have a bunch more. We need to take a break.
Oh, okay. All right.
And then we will come back. Your favorite movie lines of all time when we get back on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Well, I can already see that we're not going to have enough time to get in some of these great calls that we're getting. Aaron Sorkin was asked by TMZ. He's the great writer. Was asked, "What's your favorite movie line of all time?" He said, "From Jaws, we're going to need a bigger boat." And that kind of started us on the conversation of your all-time favorite movie line. And how do you narrow it down to just one, right? Casey, who works here on the Kevin and Bean Show, has got her finger on the button. She sent this to me. This is, of course, from Field of Dreams.
Oh, sure.
"Hey, is this heaven?"
"No. Iowa."
Just some lines from some movies you never forget. Kevin and Bean email from Lindsay. "Hello, my name is Ingo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die." Talk about a classic line from The Princess Bride. All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Where do you want to start, Kevin? We've got so many good ones.
Let's start with Don, as this has to be one of the most famous. Hi, Don.
"Hey, what's up, guys?"
Favorite movie line?
"Terminator. I'll be back.
I'll be back."
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty hard to argue with that.
That's almost been ruined, though, by him, hasn't it? Hasn't he taken that line, which is a classic movie line, and almost ruined it by saying that every single time he shows up anywhere live anytime?
You're saying he's kind of cheapened it by ending every phone call with it?
Yes.
Which is last time we had Governor Schwarzenegger on,
he ended the phone call with,
I'll be back.
Right.
All right. Thank you for the call. That's a good one. Let's go to Brad. He's on line four, joining us here on the Kevin Bean Show. Brad, the greatest movie line of all time. What is it?
What we've got here is a failure to communicate.
Oh, good delivery.
He does the accent, too.
Nicely done.
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
That's one that I have heard a million times, and I've never seen that movie.
Cool Hand Luke is the movie.
Cool Hand Luke, that was Strother Martin, and then Paul Newman said it at the end. Right?
Take it easy, Brad. Take it easy.
Brad likes the film.
I haven't seen it. It's all right.
It's from 1967. Kevin is never going to see it if he hasn't seen it by now.
Thank you for the call, Brad.
All right, let's go to Joseph. Joseph's on line six. He's got a good one from a director and a writer who's one of the most quotable of all time.
Hey, Joseph.
Hey, how's it going, party people? Fire beer mug.
he's not even working here this week. This would be a good time. Just pack his stuff up and move it out.
Exactly. You'll never know. Michael Madsen, Reservoir Dogs. Are you going to keep barking, little doggy, or are you going to bite?
Yeah, there you go.
Bark all day, little doggy. Or are you going to bite?
Yeah, that's a strong line.
Quentin Tarantino should have 10 lines, the greatest movie lines of all time. Thanks for the call. By the way, so interesting going through this American Film Institute. I mean, you can't get much more classic than Bond, James Bond.
Yeah, true.
Number 22 on their list.
What?
E.T. Phone Home, number 15 on their list.
That's got to be higher than that, doesn't it?
What do you do? There's just so many great ones. All right, we have time for a couple more. There you go. Let's go to Garrett. He's on line eight. Interesting choice. Never thought of this one before.
Hey, Garrett.
Hi. From the movie Seven. What's in the box?
Yeah. What's in the box? And by the way,
I forgot about that one.
Fantastic delivery for you too, Garrett. By the way, what's in the box? All right. Let's go to James. He's on line three. I wanted to at least get one movie on that Kevin has seen. I think James has got it.
How dare you? Hi, James.
Hey now.
What movie?
From Tommy Boy, Tommy Want Weenie.
Now, is Tommy Want Weenie one of the greatest movie lines of all time? Really?
Exactly.
Tommy Likey. Tommy Want Wingy.
Thank you for the call.
We had to go to a 9-year-old to get a movie I've heard of.
I Feel the Need for Speed, number 94 on the AFI Great Movie Quotes of All Time, by the way. I'm King of the World, number 100 on the list.
Oh, you're kidding.
There's No Crying in Baseball from A League of Their Own, number 54. You Had Me at Hello, Jerry Maguire, number 52.
What about this? What about?
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Oh, dude, right?
What about You Can't Handle the Truth?
And what about Aaron Sorkin, who started this whole conversation up? He wrote that line. He should have named that as the best movie line of all time. All right, we're going to have to end it there and revisit this another day, though.
Good, what about good stuff. Half-Baked, though? What about that? What about F you? You're cool. F you. I'm
out. Jeff Probst is going to be joining us next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also a very funny comedian whose name you don't know but will when his show debuts on Comedy Central. Ben Hoffman's going to be coming up. Also Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage. Hey, real quick before we get our guest on the phone here, the 6th annual Music Tattoo and Music Festival is happening at the OC Fair and Event Center coming up this weekend of March 8th. Through the 10th, Bad Religion is playing, Pennywise, The Vandals, so much more. Chip, that sounds like it's right up your alley. Jeez.
Yes, it is.
If you want a pair of 3-day tickets to the 6th Annual Music Tattoo and Music Festival, you can give us a call right now at 1-800-520-1067. Caller 20, you win from the world famous K-Rock. I cannot see who's there.
Where's our new kid?
I apologize. I think our new kid is going to be on the phone here in just a second. Donnie Wahlberg, by the way, talk about an impressive dude. Look, you're lucky enough and talented enough to make it in a boy band, and you sell millions and millions of records, and you have whatever the boy band career is like 5 years. And then most of the time, those guys just go away.
Yeah, they disappear.
And the next time you see them is on Celebrity Rehab. Donnie Wahlberg, though, has managed to turn into a very big television star. He's now in season 4, I think, on this Blue Blood show on CBS. He's been in lots of other shows. He's been in lots of movies, like the Saw movies and whatnot. And he's a producer of a whole bunch of stuff on television, too. I mean, this guy has really turned it around. It's pretty impressive, if you ask me.
He's an executive producer on a TV show that airs tonight at 9 o'clock on TNT called called Boston's Finest about the Boston Police Department. If he was on the phone, we would ask him about it.
We certainly would.
It'd be cool.
Now, Kevin, is cops, do they make cops anymore? Is that still?
I don't think they do.
Is that still a thing? That's done, right?
I think it's done, yeah. But this looks like it's a really good behind-the-scenes look at this particular police force. Wouldn't you think Boston would be a hard place to be a police officer?
Of course.
I mean, compared to, like, Portland, where they probably just sit around with their thumbs up their butts. In Boston, there's S going down.
Yeah, there is.
And it just seems like that's a bad place to be a cop.
Yeah. Here's the one thing I know. Anytime I see any kind of reality show that has to do with people in law enforcement is you've got to be superhuman to do a job like that, to be able to be a police officer, to be able to keep so much stuff straight and to keep all the rules straight and to know what you're going to do and to not get killed and to make the right decisions in
life
ridiculous
and death
circumstances. Yeah, ridiculous circumstances. I mean, it really does. It looks like the hardest job in the world, and that's why I'm really excited to get a behind-the-scenes look at this. All right, do we have Mr. Wahlberg? Is he on the phone?
Checking.
Ouch. It's good that Dave is talking to him. I hope Dave's doing a great interview with Donnie Wahlberg.
Tell me about New Kids on the Block, on the Black. I want to know about New Kids on the Black.
No, I'm super psyched about this, too. If we had Donnie Wahlberg, man, we would talk his ear off about the Boston's Finest show.
Great, great show. We're not going to have any time when he gets on the phone.
I know.
Hey Donnie, looks good. Thanks for calling.
Here's an update. They're trying to find out because he's in a van somewhere leaving a TV appearance.
He's in a van? Did somebody kidnap him? Let's call Boston's Finest.
He should be calling at any moment.
We're not going to have time later in the show.
Well, let's just give him another minute here.
All right.
So I'm going to
if he doesn't call the next minute, though,
we got 60 seconds.
So how are things going?
Really good. Thanks, Dave. How about you?
just sitting here waiting for Donnie.
Hey, is Chip back yet?
Yeah.
Hey, Chip, what happened last night? You were doing the OC Music Awards thing down at the House of Blues. What happened?
We did not win, but the band that did win was awesome. That's your update.
What's the name of the group that won? Because I'm going to start liking them instead.
So the band you need to like instead is Robert John and the Wreck.
They're so much better than your
so
stupid
much better
band.
Than Patient Reform. Yeah. But it was a fun night, and all the bands are great, so we felt good about it.
Oh, that's just what losers say.
Oh,
yeah, exactly. Oh, and I'm sure it was just an honor to be nominated, right, Chip?
Yep.
All right, great talking with you, Donnie. Boston's Finest premieres tonight at 9 o'clock on TNT, and we'll come right back with the show.
You guys might not know this, but I consider myself a bit of a loner. I tend to think of myself as a one-man wolf pack. But when my sister brought Doug home, I knew he was one of my own. And my wolf pack... it grew by one. So were there two of us? There were two of us in the wolf pack. I was alone first in the pack, and then Doug joined in later. And now I know for sure I just added two more guys to my wolf pack. Four of us wolves running around the desert together in Las Vegas looking for strippers and cocaine.
All right, it's a little long for the best movie line of all time.
But that's your choice from The Hangover.
But that would be my choice, yeah, from The Hangover.
Do you like The Hangover 2, Kevin?
Yes.
I see. I think you and I are the only ones on the planet that did.
It's not as good.
Nope.
But I still like it.
Me too.
I watch it anytime it's on TV.
It's got a smoking monkey.
Stryker is here, people.
Yes, Stryker, everybody.
Thank you. Thanks for having me again.
From 2 to 6 here on K-Rock, filling in one more time, one more day. Thank you so much, Ted, for being here. In for Ralph Garman, who returns tomorrow. Movie lines. You've been in a couple of movies yourself. I'm sure you're a fan of the genre. What's your favorite, if you had to pick one? I know it's tough.
I love Nine Times. Ed Rooney from Ferris Bueller, Nine Times.
Sure.
I have it right here in front of me. He's not sick. He's skipping school. It's a fool's fool, Mrs. Rooney. Rooney, he's just leading you down the primrose path.
That's
almost as long as my wolf pack drop.
It was, but I actually was doing it.
You were. That's true. That's very different.
Right after the top of the hour, we're going to revisit TLC's My Strange Addiction, which is one of our very, very favorite shows. And we're going to spotlight the young lady today who's addicted to eating sand. That's coming up in minutes here on K-Rock. First, though, what's going on, Stryker?
All right. Well, this may be shocking to you guys, but Anne Hathaway, who just won Best Supporting Actress for the movie, which I do not say the full title because I cannot say the second word. I just say Les Mis.
Fine.
Right. She told U.S. Weekly, I don't know if you watched the show, but her speech seemed fake.
Ted. Best actress, first of all, not supporting.
Oh, sorry.
And Us Weekly, not U.S. Weekly. All right. English only, please. English only.
Oh, my God. Now it's going to be a moment with me. Oh,
the
hell.
Position of a guy who makes a mistake every time he opens his mouth is already taken. So you're going to have to fit in somewhere else.
Speaking of movie lines, I'm turning violet. I am turning red right now. Okay, so it's Us Weekly. Yes. She won Best Actress. The movie is Les Mis.
Yes.
This story sucks now. God damn it. She told Us Weekly that she practiced her speech to be more likable. And I think the opposite happened when she was giving her speech. It seemed forced and phony and not authentic, and I didn't like it.
I don't know what it is about her, but there is a lot of talk again. And from a lot of people's tweets and everything, that she rubs people the wrong way. And she rubs me the wrong way, and I couldn't for the life of me tell you why.
I think I've heard the same thing, Kevin.
I don't know.
I don't have any problem with it, but people think that she is just too enthusiastic. And I think that's unfair to knock somebody down for being too happy and too enthusiastic. People do the same thing to Taylor Swift, by the way, because she legitimately is a happy person.
Don't mess this argument up.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying, like, all the criticism that Taylor got for singing along with people on stage at the Grammys the other night, for instance, people were criticizing her for that. Because she's a music fan and she enjoys singing along? I mean, people are critical of somebody who looks like they're having too good a time. And I think that Anne Hathaway gets a little bit of the rap too, because she's so excited and so happy all the time, and she's over the top, and she's kind of like Rachel on Glee in that nobody can be that happy.
Well, that's it. It's not believable.
Right,
you don't believe that they're that happy.
But maybe she really is, though. And why should we be drinking the haterade because she's enjoying herself?
She annoys me.
It doesn't come off as authentic.
I don't know why. Maybe that's it.
Kevin and I will go watch Hangover 2 together about a smoking monkey and not watch Les Mis from U.S. Weekly. Justin Timberlake and Marcus Mumford from Mumford & Sons, they work together on the soundtrack for the new Coen Brothers movie, which is called Inside Llewyn Davis, about a singer-songwriter in the Greenwich Village folk music scene in the 60s. Justin is in the movie, as is Carey Mulligan, who is married to Marcus Mumford.
Oh, how about that?
Nice.
That would have been fun to go to their wedding. I bet that was a who's who of people. Let's see here. This is kind of the sad news. I just saw this on TMZ. Adam Strange, he's 46. He's an award-winning TV director. He's done a bunch of great commercials for Pepsi and Firestone. He was just killed in a shark attack in New Zealand by more than one shark, and they actually have pictures of guys with rifles shooting the sharks that were attacking him in the ocean.
Dude.
Wow.
That's a tough way to go.
Where, New Zealand?
Yes, in New Zealand.
Wow. That is a That's a manly way to go, though.
Very sad. He's only 46 years
old.
Wow. They killed one of the sharks 14 feet long.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, we're going to need a bigger boat. Celebrating a birthday today, James Worthy is 52 years old. One of the greatest dudes. I love his acting. Donald Logg from Grounded for Life and a million other things.
I'm not positive how you say his name, but I am positive that you said it wrong.
No, come on.
I think Ted's right. I think Ted's right, but it's a tough name too. By the way, Ted, apparently I do owe you an apology.
Uh-oh.
Apparently it is Us Weekly, but it was a supporting actress, so apparently I was quick to tell you were wrong when in fact I was wrong, and I apologize for that.
No problem. Josh Groban is 32. Jared Champion from Cage the Elephant is 30, and Kate Mara from American Horror Story in 127 Hours is 30. I'm Stryker, and I have just completely ruined the showbiz beat.
K-Rock's World Tour 2013, destination number 7. You get to go to London, England to see Fun, period. At 9:10 this morning, about an hour from right now, we'll give you a bunch of chances to qualify by winning Fun's latest album called Some Nights, and you get on the standby boarding list as well. You can get all the details at krock.com. All right, who's ready for some My Strange Addiction?
This is our favorite new show. I'm surprised that we didn't catch on to this sooner.
Oh, my God. It's so great.
It's so great.
They air on Wednesday nights on TLC, which of course stands for the Freak Show Network. Last week who do we meet last week? The woman who was, what was she doing? She was
addicted to bee stings.
Yeah, she's addicted to bee stings. Right. They also had on a woman who's addicted to baby wipes. She has trauma over the sound of the shower, so she goes through 500 baby wipes a day.
Wait,
She has trauma over the sound of a shower. She won't. So they never asked one time in the whole goddamn show why she doesn't just take a bath, but she's afraid of showers, so she uses baby wipes to wash herself. She will not take a shower. She only washes herself with baby wipes.
How many a day?
500 a day.
What does she weigh? 500 pounds?
She's a big lady.
All right.
And then they also had the woman that we're going to introduce you to this morning, and she is addicted to eating sand. There's nothing wrong with your radio. She eats sand. Let's meet the beautiful Bree, shall we?
My name is Bria. I'm 19 years old, and I'm addicted to eating sand.
All right, I'm going to warn you that you're going to be hearing a lot of that noise.
I hate that noise.
That's her eating sand.
I just love the crunch. It's always good on top of food, like a seasoning or something. I've taken a tortilla chip, dipped them in sand, and ate them, and it gave the chip the best crunch that I've ever got in my entire life.
Because you can't get crunch from any other kinds of food unless you put sand on
it's
it,
not
Kevin.
A spice? What did she say? It was some kind of a spice or something?
She said, yeah, like a spice.
It's sand,
yeah, exactly.
Though it's dirt.
Is this why you hate grape nuts? Is because of how crunchy they are? Because of how hard they are to eat?
Grape nuts equal sand. There's no right. question about that. But sand is worse.
Yeah, this is actual
wow.
sand.
My favorite combination of sand is when I mix it with gum. Just like mouthwatering.
Oh. So she puts sand on her gum. That's her favorite combination. She
sand
loves to
on
chew
her
that.
Gum. Does she have teeth?
Yeah, she does.
All
she looks
of them?
Like a normal, healthy young
what?
Woman. I think she's only 19 years old, for God's sakes. You may be wondering, Kevin, and rightfully so, how did this strange addiction begin?
Bria's addiction first developed 5 years ago when she accidentally got a mouthful of sand at the beach. She was instantly hooked on the crunchy texture.
I eat it when I go to my room, when I'm walking to class, when I'm reading a book. Before I go to bed, I put like a pinch in my mouth. When I wake up in the morning, there's still pieces like in my teeth. It's like leftovers.
Oh, wow, this is a gross girl. Man. She's so gross.
She sure loves sand. You wouldn't think this if you saw her, though. Again, she's a young, pretty, thin girl who just loves sand.
How does she date? What are you putting on your salad? Sand. You
all
should
right.
try some. It's good.
What about, remember last week, bee sting lady carried bees in her purse with her.
Sure.
Because when she got the urge to get a sting, she needed to have, you know, a supply route.
Sure.
Well, what does Bree do if she doesn't have any sand around?
Bria is so dependent on that satisfying crunch, she turns to nail files when her sand supply runs low.
It has, like, sandpaper on it that gives me the same crunch. Sorry. Put it, like, in the back of my teeth and just go like this.
So her substitute, her Nicorette, basically, is a nail file because it has the same kind of texture. So she just chews on that if she doesn't have any sand.
It sounds like the same thing that makes me hate that sound makes her love it.
Do you think she also loves fingernails on a blackboard? It sounds like
yes.
she'd be the type of person who would enjoy that.
Yes, and I don't know anybody else who would, but this is seriously gross.
What kind of we'll find out. What kind of sand does the young lady enjoy?
But Bria's cravings can't be satisfied with just any sand.
Of course.
My favorite sand is actually the sand from the playground or a park. I start by taking a handful. Then I take like the big rocks out. It's natural. It's straight from the earth. It's really good and it's really crunchy.
It's natural, Kevin. It's straight from the earth.
It
can't be bad.
It's where dogs and cats poop, by the way, and pee.
This is what I
a
was
park.
Thinking. It doesn't seem like a public park is going to be the most sanitary
right.
place in the world to eat dirt. People's shoes are on it. People's kids are on it. Their pets are on it. You would think there'd be all sorts of things that you wouldn't want to get in your mouth, right?
Including sand.
Including sand. Well, like they do on all the episodes of My Strange Addiction, somebody in the family confronts Bria and says, look, I don't think this is healthy. I think you should go to a doctor. So she does. She goes to a doctor for the first time.
Hold on. Let me guess. Let me just guess. This is random. I haven't seen it yet. Doctor says he doesn't like it. She does it anyway.
Well, let's find out. All she right. goes to a gastroenterologist to find out if it's maybe, I don't know, not the best idea in the world to make sand an essential part of your diet.
If you're in areas where soil gets contaminated, that's right. a concern. Those problems are not insignificant with the risk of infection, theoretically, but also where you might get some issues with constipation or bowel obstruction. Bria needs to stop eating sand. The sands around her could be contaminated with bacterial, parasitic, and viral infections, some of which could be potentially life-threatening. I strongly recommend that you stop eating sand.
All right, so you're one for one so far. You expected that the doctor would say stop eating sand.
Don't eat sand.
And by the way, he brought up our point, which is it can't be the most sanitary thing in the world. But I will tell you that he did not find any kind of physical problem with her eating sand. They took x-rays, for instance, and took a look at what was going on in her stomach. And there wasn't anything going on. There wasn't any calcification or anything like that. It wasn't causing deposits in her stomach. I mean, it doesn't seem like there was any health reason to stay away from sand, teeth? Except for the fear of infection.
They checked her teeth? I can't believe her teeth are healthy.
Teeth seem fine.
I know you
yeah.
say that, but it can't be.
All right, so the doctor says she needs to stop eating sand. Let's go to the room. Kevin, again, your guess is she will stop eating sand or she will not stop eating
sand. She will continue eating sand for the rest of her life.
It does make me more concerned than I've ever been at all. I don't want to stop, but for my health and so that my family's not concerned, I do want to.
So that my family's not concerned, I do want to stop. Ladies and gentlemen, Bria stopped eating sand that day. 6 months later, has still not eaten any more sand. I'm the only
BS.
One applauding.
What?
She says, according to the show, she stopped eating sand that day.
It. You know she sneaks it.
She still chews on the what was it? What did she have? The nail file. She still chews on the nail file. She still does that, but she's not eating sand anymore, according to the show, according to TLC now.
I don't
so
buy
now,
it. I don't buy
now
it.
She's the perfect woman.
Now I want to date her. Yes, absolutely. 106.7 right. K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 21 minutes after 8 o'clock.
She's eating sand.
That is so gross.
You love that, right?
I don't.
Hey, the Ace Man, Adam Carolla, is on the phone. We've been dying to talk to him since the Oscars. He, of course, has been talking up Christoph Waltz all along, saying there's no way he wouldn't win the Academy Award, and goddamn if he wasn't right. Ace Man, how much did you end up making on betting on that?
Well, I started at $25,000. Then I worked my way to $20,000, and I ended up with $1,000.
Well, you certainly know how gambling works. What happened? Everybody was trying to talk you out of putting down too much money on it because they thought it was too much of a long shot?
Well, it was 25 to 1 when I went online and on one site and 20 to 1 on another site. But according to Cousin Sal's, the guy Cousin Sal uses, it
right.
was 10 to 1.
Right.
And I said, all right, give me $1,000. I'll win $10,000. And a friend of mine named Nick Santora, who's an attorney who writes crime novels and who works in this business writing screenplays, who was drunk on Mangria, but that's no excuse. He said, don't do it. The gun violence is too crazy. Hollywood's never going to go for – they're not going to – the reason he's such low odds – or such high odds is because of the gun violence. And there's no way that Hollywood's signing off on this gun violence.
So he talked you out of putting $1,000 on.
Yeah, he said, put $100 on. Put $100 on.
Well, wow. You're a pussy for listening to
it. I know, but look, you know how if there's anyone standing next to you at any time, especially if he has a law degree and a shaved head and he writes crime novels and he says don't do it, you go with it. I'm a puss. It's my fault.
It is still nice to win $1,000 for watching the Oscars, but it's got to just burn you up that it could have been so much more. But you're the only guy who was out there guaranteeing Christoph Waltz was going to win the thing for Django Unchained, so I give you all the credit in the world, Ace Man.
Thank you.
Adam Carolla is on the phone. Like he do, he'll be doing his live podcast and Mangria testing tonight. That's going to be a tasting, I should say. That's going to be at the Amalfi on La Brea Avenue in Los Angeles. It's a lot of fun. Kevin and I did the podcast a couple weeks ago. You can go down and be part of the live audience if you want. It's down on La Brea in L.A. Special guest, movie star Elliot Gould tonight is going to be your guest, of course, from the Ocean's 11 movies and just a long, going all the way back to MASH, a tremendous career. That sounds like a lot of fun. And don't miss Adam on stage. Dennis Prager is going to be his guest March 16th. That's in Northridge. Right now, though, time for This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Well, start at 3 and working my way up to number 1. First, do you guys see all these bank commercials and all these insurance commercials where these guys have personal relationships with their clients?
Yeah.
Like, there's ones like Ted knows my small business. Ted rolls his sleeves up. The picture of a guy who's his banker, like, in walking through the guy's business.
Right.
You think there's some guy down at my podcast right now going, you know what, Adam? A little less news, a little more sports. I've been studying your podcast for a number of months. Take a look at this this graph that I've created. Like, I don't know who the name of my guy is. Well, why does everyone have this incredible relationship with their banker? I go to the ATM once a month.
Right, that's it.
What's going on? And then they do this thing where they go, if your banker doesn't know your business better than you, maybe you're with the wrong. But I don't even know the guy's name.
He doesn't know your name either, though, Adam, so you guys are even.
By the way, if you don't know more than your banker about your business, you're in trouble.
Yeah, that's what I would say. That's all of us. I could be running H in from Tijuana. My banker has no idea.
Right.
Human trafficking or just selling avocados by the side of the freeway. He has no idea what I do. He's never been to where I work.
And you don't know who he is.
No, and I'll tell you another thing. My insurance agent, he doesn't know my kids' names. We don't sit down and plot out things that have to do with their future or college. He doesn't ask what my wife is. I don't know what he looks like. Forget summoning him. I just yell his name out. He shows up like a magic genie, like he's Shaq or something. What is this fantasy land? When are we going to get the feds on these people? This is clearly a violation. I mean, you can't say Gatorade will enable you to dunk a basketball.
That's
like,
true.
You're selling it. You can just go, it'll quench your thirst.
Because it's a lie.
You can't say,
right,
it'll give you a 9-inch honker. That's a lie.
Right.
This is a lie.
That's right.
This is the biggest lie perpetrated against Americans since Watergate. And I won't stand for it. All these good-looking guys with their sleeves rolled up helping everyone.
Thanks, Allstate. The guy just shows up.
By the way, you know Allstate has the mayhem guy?
Right.
The guy who's always hanging on your car roof and, you know, all that guy.
Oh, right. Yeah, shoes. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to force him to mate with the T-Mobile hot chick on the motorcycle.
Oh, there you go.
I want them to have a super commercial kid.
Yeah.
You know what
That's
I mean?
That's awesome.
That'd be a decent-looking little baby there. Mayhem guy, and plus a fun story.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm banging around with the hot chick from the T-Mobile commercial. All right. I'm skipping, too, because that was all Christoph Waltz. But it couldn't happen to a nicer guy, by the way. He is a...
Do you know him? You've talked to him on your podcast?
Yes, I've had him on the podcast. I'll have him back, and he's he's why Europeans are better than we are. They write very, very nice emails. They're very complimentary and very friendly.
He seems like he's such a genuine dude.
Sweet would be the word with him without being gay. Just the
not possible.
Dusting of sweetness.
You have to pick either gay or non-sweet.
He's a sweet, sweet, sweet man from Bavaria. I bet he's got chocolate and or nougat inside of him. Let's crack him open. All right, number one. The Oscars were all over the road. I thought Seth did a great job. All the other presenters did, or most of them did, a horrible job because they don't show up for rehearsal. But I can tell you how these things work. These things work like this: the bands have to show up and rehearse because they have to get some licks in with the orchestra
with the
and everything
sound check
else.
And everything else, right?
Yeah, all the guys from X-Men 5, when they say, you know, Wednesday's rehearsal day, they go, screw that. So they just walk out there and look at a teleprompter they've never seen before. And because everyone worships them, and because society's decided that, you know, Jennifer Aniston is a hero, they don't think they can do any wrong, but they don't have a lot of stage time. They're used to sound stages, not stages.
Yeah.
And then they walk out there and they suck.
Yeah.
For the most part, Michelle Obama's speech was fine with me. But here's what I'm saying: why does everything have to get steered toward kids? I've said this to you guys a million times. When did we give a crap about kids? And how come when we were kids, no one gave a crap about us?
Big
the
question.
Oscars were all about John Wayne getting a statue and thanking Jesus Christ. There's no anything about the kids, was there? She said that the nominated movies reminded us we can overcome any obstacle if we dig deep enough and fight hard enough to find the courage to believe in ourselves. I hang around with a bunch of douchebags that believe in themselves a little too much.
Right, yeah.
I think that's the problem, people feeling a little too good about themselves. And then it says, every day, through engagement in arts, our children learn to open their imaginations, to dream just a little bigger, to strive to reach those dreams. And I was sitting in front of a TV set, and I said, imagination? My son is six. He tells me he's the fastest human being on the planet. I said, no, you're not. I said, there's a kid in your class that's faster than you are. He said, all right, me and him, fastest kid. I said, what are the chances the second fastest six-year-old is going to be sitting next to you in Miss Walton's class? And he's like, well, I don't know, man. But I am the fact. As a kid, all you have is an imagination. That's true. Let's stop trying to convince kids they can do anything and be everything, and convince them to like eat the brock of flour and shut the F up.
There you go. That's right.
That's the next message.
I think you made a good point. I didn't get the whole Michelle Obama thing. We didn't get a chance to talk about it much on Monday. It just didn't make any sense to me. Like, it's just like, I don't need basketball players presenting Oscars.
Right.
I don't need politicians presenting. It just, I didn't get that whole thing. And it wouldn't have been incredibly awkward if she would have had to give the Oscar to the slavery movie or something like that, or to Zero Dark 30, you know? I mean, it could have been potentially awkward for the White House to even put her in that position, too.
It is weird. And by the way, just the idea that the president and the first lady are now celebrities.
Yeah. Right.
Just run the country the best way you can run the country, and, you know, go out and take some shots of you looking for landmines in Mozambique or something.
Yeah, I don't need to see that with Jay-Z and Beyonce. I don't need any of that. I agree. You got a job to do. All right, the Adam Carolla podcast is available at adamcarolla.com, and all the information on the Mangria testings. You can also buy it, of course, on the site. The live podcast of Mangria tasting is going to be at Amalfi tonight on North La Brea Avenue in L.A. with special guest movie star Elliot Gould. Sounds like so much fun. Ace Man, always a pleasure, sir. Thanks for coming on. By the way, the winner of the Daytona 500, Jimmy Johnson, joins us tomorrow here on the Kevin Bean Show. Also, Rain Wilson from The Office is going to be here as well. First, that's all tomorrow. Right now, Jeff Probst on the line from TV Survivor, from The Jeff Probst Show, and from about a million other jobs. This guy can't be stopped. Hi, Jeff. Welcome back to the Kevin Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
We're good.
Good to talk to you. Hey, are you still making movies? I remember you made a splash a few years ago with that film that won the Seattle Film Festival. You still making movies, dude?
I did just finish one a few months ago, a very small one called Kiss Me, with a really nice cast, and just starting to take it out to sales agents. And it's hard to make a movie, and then it's hard to sell it. So
yeah,
all of it's a big journey.
That's one of the things that I notice, even when it gets to be the, you know, like the Sundance Film Festival, and you start to hear all the reports out of there. I mean, a lot of people spend a lot of time and money to make a film, and then you don't even know when you go and show it in front of people whether anyone's even going to buy it, and if they do, whether they're even going to distribute it. I mean, it seems like it's really difficult to break through.
It is, and I think the only people that do it are either... I think, you know, you do the first time because you have no idea.
Right.
You just do it, and when it's over, you go, oh, my God, if I'd known, I probably wouldn't have done it. And then enough time goes by, and you think, I'm going to do it again, and then you forget. But I had a blast. You know, I had a blast doing it, and I'm enjoying the whole process of it because I just like it. But you're right, man. It is tough to make a movie and get it out there.
I'll tell you what else.
It's weird because there's so many ways to see things. You would think it would be easier to get it out there.
Yeah, that's true.
So you're making movies. You got two television shows that are basically full-time jobs. And then you thought, I'm not busy enough. I think I'm going to write a book. And now you've got a book out available everywhere called Stranded. Now, where did this idea come from?
Well, Stranded is a kid's adventure book. It is basically Survivor for kids, like from maybe 8 to 12 years old. And I'm happy to say, as of yesterday, a New York Times bestseller.
What?
Which is even more odd than me writing a kid's book. But it came from kids, you know, Survivor. We have a guy on this season, Malcolm, who was on last season. He grew up watching Survivor. That was the first thing he said when he was on the show was, I grew up watching. So a lot of kids watch, and they will often ask, when are you going to do a Survivor for kids? And it hasn't yet made sense to drop a 9-year-old on an island and walk away. So we wrote the book, and the book is a blended family. It's a mom and a dad, and they both have a boy and a girl, and they send them on a sailing weekend to kind of get to know each other. They're their new brothers and sisters, and they get shipwrecked without adults and are stranded on an island. So we just took Survivor, all the things that happen on Survivor, from finding food, building shelter, you know, and making fire and all that, and put it in the hands of these four kids who have to figure out how to survive.
Do they have to rescued. Do they have to vote one of the kids off the island every night?
No.
No, okay.
Did not go the Lord of the Flies route where okay. they're eating and killing each other.
Okay, good.
That sounds like a great idea, and I bet Survivor is one. I mean, look, it's one of the few shows in primetime, Jeff, that families love to watch together, and it always has been since you first debuted. I bet you have a ton of kids who love this show who would really find the idea of this book attractive because they like to imagine themselves in that situation.
That's, I think, the key is that they're no different than the adults who think, huh, could I do it? Kids all the time, you know, and I married my wife, Lisa, and she brought two kids into our marriage. And so they're now 9 and 6. And all the time, everything is about adventure and Indiana Jones and how do we do this and how do we do that? So I think that's why Survivor has been on so long, is that it does touch on that fundamental idea that's in us of, could I do it? How would I do if I was stuck somewhere? And
isn't it funny? I have a two-part question. One is it hard to find people who haven't seen Survivor? Or do you even try it anymore?
No, I don't. I think the people who watch Survivor, they're loyal, and that's why we're still on. And the people who don't watch Survivor probably aren't going to ever try it. Although I will tempt people sometimes and say, just give it an episode. I mean, any season, just pop in
right.
and see if it piques your interest, because you might be surprised at what it touches. What I do like, though, when, especially in L.A., you run into people and they say this. They say, my friend tells me you're on television.
Right.
With a question mark. And you go, and then you have to decide, okay, do I say yes or not? I say, yeah. I don't watch TV. What show is it? It's called Survivor. Okay, so people surviving out in the wilderness, huh?
Wow.
How do
people not know, even if they've never seen it, how have they not at least figured out what it's about, Jeff?
When the petty little stick-eating bitch in me comes out, I then say to the person who says, I don't have a TV, I say, yeah, and then a couple seconds go by and I say, Sam and John Stewart, love The Daily Show. So there's sometimes there's that little, like, I don't watch your show,
right.
Reality, but I damn sure watch Colbert.
All right, hilarious. Now, part two of my question is, when you do get people on the show, like Malcolm, who said he had watched it his whole life and pretty much figured that he could do it, what's the confidence level for people coming in that they have figured out whatever the secret is and they know that they're going to win?
High.
Way high, right?
That's a great question. It's way high. People think they know. When people come in and say, I've got this game locked, that's usually a sign that, you know, you're going to be in early trouble. Because really, there's no way to lock life
right.
or Survivor. You have to just be adaptable and go, well, let me see. If I'm playing with Kevin and Bean, then I'll play differently than if I'm playing with two college, you know, co-eds. It just depends who I'm out there with and
right.
who I get lined up with. But I still am amazed. We have this season, you know, we have an episode on tonight, and there's a storyline going on with this guy, Shamar, who is kind of what you're talking about. He served in the military two or three tours. He was down on Wall Street protesting and sort of sees himself as a bit of a martyr for America, for the underdog.
Right, right.
And yet, so he comes out and says, man, I got this game in my pocket. And then he's out there for about 4 hours, and it hits him, the lack of food and the lack of water. And he's been a disaster. But in his mind, he's got it lit. He still can win the game. And you're looking at it from the outside going, you don't get it. You have no chance to win this game.
I'll bet that's true a lot. I'm sorry. I'll bet that's true a lot of military personnel who have been through hell and back and figure this can't be any worse.
And it does make sense, because they've certainly been through far worse. What Shamar has seen in his life is far more than I ever want to see.
Right.
But there's something about Survivor that people underestimate. And maybe it's because we're Americans and we're just typically used to things somehow working out. But there is no chocolate bar around the corner. There's nobody there. And I think it hits people. Day two or three, they go, wow, this is full. This is actually for real.
Yeah.
We have an explosion in 2 weeks that is, fair to say, unprecedented. And
really?
I think we'll have people talking. Yeah, it's a pretty powerful
In 2 weeks,
episode.
meaning 2 weeks from tonight?
Not tonight and not next week, but the week after.
Gotcha.
Just looking ahead a little. But.
Can't wait. All right, Survivor Karamoa, Fans versus Favorites, airs tonight at 8 on CBS. Of course, the Jeff Probst Show airs every weekday afternoon at 2 on NBC. And the book is called Stranded for the Young Adult in Your Life.
It
sounds like a lot of fun. Hey, Jeff, we love you, man. It's always great to have you on the Kevin Amin Show. We appreciate the time.
I got to tell you,
yes.
This morning, as I'm driving in my car, I had 3 texts about, I don't know, an hour ago or something, saying, dude, you're on K-Rock this morning. You're on K-Rock? What's going on with Kevin and
Bean? It's like somehow you didn't know that, right?
just meaning people were very excited. My friends are big K-Rock listeners. I'm not making this up. And I just love that people are going, are so excited about me being
Jeff,
I'm sure, listening right now.
You came on the Kevin and Bean Show right after A Woman Who Eats Sand. So congratulations. Thanks for coming. Anytime. Thank you.
The Ben Show with Ben Hoffman, premiering tomorrow night on Comedy Central. Mr. Hoffman will be in here in the 9 o'clock hour, coming up right after the top of the hour in minutes here on K-Rock. Ted Stryker filling in for Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat here on a Wednesday. What's going on, sir?
All right. First off, Ralph left me some tickets to give away, so I'll give these away right now for Paley Fest 2013, March 1st through 15th at the Saban Theater right there in Beverly Hills. You can get tickets at paleycenter.org. Now, the tickets you're going to get today are for March 3rd for The Newsroom, the great HBO show with Jeff Daniels.
That is a good show.
Oh, that's such a good show.
Yeah. 1-800-520-1067, callers 10 and 11. You are in right now.
I bet there's going to be a lot of yelling in that.
You think there's going to be yelling, Dean?
Yeah. I think if The Newsroom is involved somehow at the Paley, yes. Everybody's going to be standing up screaming at each other.
I wonder if Jeff Daniels gets a lot of people coming up to him, always asking about Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah, probably.
And he must be
classic.
Sick of this.
Probably.
I've heard him say that he still stands by Dumb and Dumber. He still loves that movie. Still glad
he
did
it.
Yeah, he's not embarrassed.
He seems like he's
it.
Such a more respected actor now.
Right.
Definitely.
Right. Than the goofball that was in that movie.
Right, our pets. Heads are falling off. It looks like there's trouble in paradise for Miley Cyrus and Liam Hemsworth.
Uh-oh.
This was on Radar Online. Apparently, the Australian actor was at a pre-Oscar party getting cozy with Miss Betty Draper, January Jones.
Oh, that's a big trade-up.
All I know is this about January Jones. Zach Galifianakis ripped her and said, everyone's going to forget about you in a few years. Do you know that story, what happened with them?
No, please tell me.
Zach Galifianakis and January Jones a couple years ago were sitting at a table together talking, and then according to Zach, she said, I think it's time for you to leave now.
She said that to him?
Yes!
What?
And so since then, he said what he just said. And I like Betty Draper and Miley Cyrus. I've always looked at her as a 14-year-old girl.
Me
not
too.
Not anymore, though.
Yeah, but she's not sexy compared to sexy women in Hollywood. You know what I mean? Maybe she's sexy compared to normal women, but when you start talking about sexy in Hollywood, let's stop treating her like she's an A+, because she's not.
She's a B+, though.
Yeah, okay.
She's
right.
A B+, but
I'm
she's got to stop with the body tattoos. Just slow down on that a little bit, please.
I don't know. That's just part of it, bad tattoos.
I know your guys' favorite artist out there is Justin Bieber, right?
Love him so much.
You guys think he's the opposite of a D-bag?
He's a douche.
I'm a believer. I'm not ashamed to say that I enjoy his music very much, but I will tell you that he has made nothing but bad decisions personally in the last year or so.
He's a douche.
I 100% agree with you. Every time I want to like him as a guy, even though I don't know him,
don't
he does
ever,
terrible things.
Am I the only one that doesn't ever want to like him? I want him to kill himself.
Oh, my God.
Who's with me?
He drives a Fisker car. He drives like an a-hole on the streets of L.A. He's getting busted with pot. Anyway, there's a shot of him in London, and it's one, he's grabbing his balls. Number two, he's wearing a gas mask walking around the streets of London. It is one of the worst.
Such an asshole.
I completely agree with you, which leads me to Harry Styles. I don't know Harry Styles, but he dated Bean's girlfriend, Taylor Swift.
Tadoff Swindler.
I can't believe I just won an award. You guys, oh my God, thank you. I just can't believe I'm winning awards.
I'm glad you're on the same page.
So Harry Styles was on stage with his band One Direction. And for some reason, the women in the audience started throwing their shoes. Well, one of the shoes hit Harry Styles right in the nuts.
Right where his nuts are supposed to be.
And there's a video of that if you want to see it on TooFab.com. And it didn't just hit him. It smashed him in the nuts and he fell down and he curled up into a little ball.
Yeah.
Rick Springfield, did you guys see Sound City at the Dave Grohl documentary?
Yes.
So good. Rick Springfield was great in that. Rick Springfield is returning to General Hospital as the character he played, Dr. Noah Drake, and Rick's son, Liam Springthorpe, which is Rick Springfield's real name, is going to be on the show with him, playing an undercover cop.
With that.
I just want to say the best character of all time on General Hospital is Dr. John Hardy, played by John Berardino, who was the first athlete in the history of sports to have a body part insured. It was his face, which was insured when he played for the Indians and won a World Series.
I don't know who any of those people are.
Okay, Ben Stiller is going to be back on Arrested Development. Arrested Development is going to be back on, not back on, but will be on Netflix, and he's going to play the magician rival, Tony Wonder. And you guys rarely talk about it, but I'm going to pump it up. I love Duck Dynasty. It's on tonight. I love all the characters. I love Psy. I love his blue cup. I love that he was a Vietnam vet. So I'm very happy, happy, happy. That is the Showbiz Beat after I give you the birthdays. Hall of Famer James Worthy is 52. Donald Logue, happy birthday, Donald, 47. T-Boz from TLC is 42. Tony Gonzalez from Huntington Beach High School and from the Falcons is 37. Josh Groban, 32. Jared Champion from Cage the Elephant is 30. Thank you, Kevin and Bean, for having me on. I appreciate it. I'm Stryker. I just completely ruined the Showbiz Beat.
Thank you.
Always exciting to have new shows debuting on the TV, and this is a big week because Thursday night at 10 on Comedy Central, it's The Ben Show with Ben Hoffman. And Mr. Hoffman joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
How's it going, guys? Thanks for having
What's
me.
What's up, Ben?
Here's what I know. I know that I don't know Ben, right?
Well, we've known each other for like a minute now.
A minute. Okay, I've known you for a minute. And
how do you think it's going, Kevin?
Pretty well so far.
I feel good about it.
Friends?
You're honestly, I've talked to you more than most of my family, yeah.
Okay. All right, so we're best friends now.
Yes.
We can rarely make this promise, but if you like the comedy or the if you get any laughs out of the Kevin and Bean Show, you will love the show on MTV.
I think so.
It's perfect.
In fact, I'm going to give an even stronger endorsement of that and say that the person who tipped me off to Ben Hoffman was our friend Jimmy Kimmel, who emailed and said, "This guy's awesome. You will love his show."
Is Jimmy Kimmel doing anything but emailing people and telling them how much he loves this show?
Have you heard that a lot? Has he been spreading the word?
He's been the nicest guy. He emailed me personally, not even through like a publicist or an agent. He found my email, wanted to tell me how much he loved the show.
Wow.
Having me on the show Monday.
Wow.
And then I run into the president of Comedy Central and he's like, "Oh yeah, just talked to Jimmy. He just wanted to let me know how much I love your show." I'm like, I need to get this. I need to give him 10%.
When Jimmy finds something that he loves, to his credit, he will do nothing but
promote
it.
But it's the greatest thing because, yes, you know, I'm a fan of his, so it's so great to see someone, you know, when you're late at night at the editing suite and you're working hard and, you know, not every day is the most fun day,
sure,
even in a fun gig like comedy. And all of a sudden you get an email from Jimmy Kimmel saying, "Awesome work."
That's crazy.
It picks you up for the night.
For people,
and
he's a big star, too. And by the way, I don't know if this is going to happen with you or not, Ben. I don't want to get your hopes up. But he legally adopted Andy Milonakis. I mean, that's how far he went with Andy when he loved him.
That may be where I have to draw the line.
But, are you looking for a stepdad?
if it's Kimmel, I would think about it, yeah.
Seriously, he's got all sorts of nice houses. He's got a cute girlfriend.
If I need a new dad, I'd like one with that demo ratings. Yes.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Absolutely.
Now, for people who haven't seen the show, and that's
everyone.
Everyone.
That's virtually everyone,
because
it hasn't
aired yet.
Describe for them what it is.
Well, I'm describing it now as the White Chappelle Show.
The White Chappelle Show. All right.
Yes.
That's good.
It's a sketch comedy show, but in between the sketches, you actually see me and I don't do stand up. So in between, it's like it's almost like a Man on the Street style show. So you see me with my friends, my family, my dad's in the show, and I meet these regular people. And the interstitials between the sketches kind of tell a story as well, like the opening.
Now I have the one of, what are we listening to? Bean, is that your phone going off or your dog snoring?
Oh, are you hearing Veruca snore? I'm sorry, she's taking a nap. Sorry, she's about 10 feet away.
I'm just happy to be here. It doesn't bother me.
I have a clip of you having a girl read from the
script. What is this in the interstitials where you basically turn people on the street into your announcer, Ben?
Exactly. Like, everyone I meet is my Ed McMahon. So when I had the real people introduce the sketches, and we were thinking about it. We're like, how do we have real people introduce sketches? Because they're not going to know the lines. And I go, I'll just hand them a piece of paper, and they'll read it, and they'll be my co-host on the show. So if you are in my life, you are then the co-host of the show.
So we have an example of that.
You want to read the intro to my new TV show?
Yeah.
All right, come on over. Okay. Read this. And look into that camera.
My New Year's resolution was to quit smoking and not use the N-word or the C-word, 0 for 3. Welcome to the Ben Show.
Great. Thank you so much.
Yep, thank you.
0 for 3.
And my favorite part, and we have a ton of those, and so they read it, they realize they've made an idiot of themselves.
Right.
And then we go, can you sign this release to be on Comedy Central? And we're waiting for them to run off or tear it up, and they go, oh, sure.
Really? I would think that would be difficult.
The only person that tore up the release, and I don't want to get too graphic, it's episode 7, which is, you know, it will air 7 weeks
from
tomorrow.
So that'll never air, episode 7. There's no way you're still on the air at episode 7.
Yeah, no, episode 7's, yeah, you'll have to come to my house to watch it. But we tried to get a guy on a green screen to, I don't know how I say it, make love to himself.
Right.
And we halfway through tricking him into it, he ripped up the paper. But other than that, everyone was really cool.
I can't tell. I've only seen the first episode of the show. And again, it's called The Ben Show with Ben Hoffman on Comedy Central, debuting Thursday night at 10. I've only seen the first show, so I haven't quite figured out who's real and who's not. But for instance, the scene where you're sitting down with what I guess looks like a priest. Is he a real priest?
A priest? I'm trying to think. Oh, my therapist?
Did he have a collar on? Was there a guy on the show who had a collar on who I thought was a minister or a priest of some sort? No?
No. Well, but am I wrong? Am I crazy? I don't think
we
I
don't
talked
know.
To a priest.
Was it your real therapist?
That was my therapist. No, but let me answer your question. Yes, everyone is real.
Everyone is real?
That's
wow.
My dad. That's my therapist. That is the – like the first episode is Ben Buys a Gun. I think that's the one you probably saw.
That's the one I saw, yeah.
Yeah, so – at the end of the episode, when I shoot the gun to decide whether or not I'm going to buy a gun, you're seeing me literally shooting a gun for the first time, which is odd
wow.
since I'm from Kentucky.
Yeah, no kidding.
Where you'd think I would shoot.
Everybody gets a gun at birth, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I obviously turned it down. But
you're a little pussy baby.
As an adult. And yes, you get to watch me shoot a gun for the first time and see my real actual reaction, and that's the
so
only time
I've
shot.
These are real people. This is your real therapist. Your real dad. That's amazing.
Yeah, my dad is in every episode. My dad is back in Kentucky. He's a doctor. Has no idea what's going on. We're getting interview requests that my dad for my dad to be interviewed.
Really, and he doesn't really get.
He gets
the Comedy Central thing or your show, or
he's just like, you know, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. I'm happy to do it. Like,
he's not worried about being a doctor and being made to look foolish.
I wouldn't go to a doctor who's on a Comedy Central show. Certainly not this disgusting, Phil.
That's what I'm saying.
But you know, but again, I would put that under not my problem.
Yeah, it's true. How disappointed must your doctor father be with your choice of occupation, though, Ben?
You know what?
Or is he just
really
happy that you're happy? Is he one of those cool dads?
It's in between. Things have looked – the last couple months, things have been – he's been a little happier.
Okay.
A billboard on Sunset Boulevard helped. Calling him for money when I'm broke and can't get a job, not as
That's
happy.
Not as good for him?
Yeah, exactly. But you make up for it by putting him on the show.
All right.
The show is hilarious. We're going to take a break, come back more with our guest. His name is Ben Hoffman. The show is called The Ben Show with Ben Hoffman. Ben is the creator and the host. Narcissist much? It premieres Thursday night at 10 on Comedy Central. We'll be right back after this on K-Rock. Ben Hoffman is our guest here on the show, making his first appearance, probably last, but we're enjoying it so far.
That takes the load off my chest.
He's my best friend.
See, I forgot you guys were so close.
Right.
The Ben Show with Ben Hoffman premiering Thursday night at 10 on Comedy Central. It is hilarious, as Kevin said a few minutes ago. If you enjoy the sensibility of this show, you're going to love Ben's show. And it's interesting the kind of the route you have taken. You mentioned you don't do stand-up, Ben. So you kind of have gotten to this position as a writer. That's kind of how you've
More
been working
anything,
the last few
yeah.
years, right?
First of all, thanks so much for all the kind words. I appreciate it. But yeah, I was mainly moved out here to do comedy writing, and I worked on, you know, I've done a lot of, like, I wrote on the roast, the Roseanne roast, and wrote on, like, this really funny show, sports show with Norm MacDonald.
Right.
And I'm a huge Norm fan.
But you've never tried stand-up, or you just
I never
like
liked
it?
Stand-up. I mean.
Did you try it?
I've probably done it, like, two or three times. I think being on K-Rock, good place to say that. I grew up just loving music.
Right.
And I was such a big music fan going to concerts that when I first saw somebody do stand-up, it just looked so boring. Just a guy with a microphone, you know?
And I'm, well, it's not music, but
I want lights and explosions and crazy
you
stuff.
You could add that to your comedy if you wanted.
Well, no one wants to see me.
Oh,
do
okay.
That. But, yeah, I never really – I mean, and plus the stand-ups I loved, like, I loved Richard Pryor and Eddie Murphy. It's like – you don't pick up a guitar if you just want to sound like Hendrix, you know? It's
and
like
you right. clearly don't have the tan to be those guys.
Exactly, and nor the talent.
Right.
You know, so
this is early Eddie Murphy when he was not doing the Nutty Professor stuff.
Exactly.
He
I mean, yeah, isn't it weird to think that kids now think of him as
yes.
like a not
the
funny
guy in the
guy?
Fat suit.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
not funny. Yeah.
But no.
Hey, somebody the other day, I wish I could remember where I heard this. Kevin, was it from you that your kids asked if Barbara Streisand has always been a singer? I thought she was just yep. that actress from those Meet the Fockers movies.
Yep.
Oh, boy.
Isn't that crazy? Yep. I mean, people do. Yep. I mean, yeah, depending on how old you are, that's how you know people. So are you comfortable in front of the camera, Ben?
I'm actually very comfortable in front of the camera and extremely uncomfortable off of it.
Really? Now why is that?
I was telling somebody that the other day. I don't have stage fright. I have life fright.
You're fine.
I get
on
off
stage.
The camera. Yeah. No. I'm a neurotic mess, and I'm riddled with anxiety. But when I'm not, but when I'm on camera, for some reason, it goes. Maybe it's almost so much anxiety that it disappears.
No. You know
something?
What I think it is? Is maybe you kind of can play a character a little bit more. Like, for example, I'll give you a perfect example. I say things to people on this show that I would never say if I was
I think that's what it is,
in
yeah,
my
yeah.
real life. I would never say that to them.
And I think I get relaxed. Yeah, and then I get off camera. Like with the real people on the show, I'll apologize
right.
to them, you know, after we get off camera. Like,
that.
I feel so bad. Then the cameras will roll again. Then I'll start going after them again.
We want to play another soundbite from the Ben Show with Ben Hoffman. I think this is very, very funny. Tell me what the history is of where the obituaries came from.
Well, you know, when you get your own show and they say you can do anything you want, I go, I've had an idea I've wanted to do. I love gangster rap, as you can tell.
Sure.
Obviously. As most Jews from Kentucky do. And I go, gangster rappers are always rapping about death. I want to gangster rap the obituaries, the week's obituaries. I was eating dinner with my brothers, and he goes, you mean the obituaries?
Nice.
Strong.
The title's right there,
and
right?
And you thought, done.
So I go, let's have a gangster rapper come on every couple weeks on the show and gangster rap the who died that week. And
love
it's
it.
I think it's
and
about
it
to be played.
Goes a little
and
something
there's
like
a lot
this.
There's going to be a lot of bleeps in it, I'm sure.
It's time for the motherfucking obituaries. Gordon Johnson fought for his nation. When the diabetes took him, he chose cremation. Kathy Johnson, dumb bitch, didn't use a turn signal, now they digging your ditch. Beatrice Gibson had 4 grandchildren. Don't matter no more, asbestos in the building. Sam Smith fought in World War II. Survived Pearl Harbor, not the motherfucking flu. Molly Campbell was a big fat bitch. Tried to fix it with surgery, but the doctor was my grandma, I loved her well, but she didn't leave me so the could go to hell. Yeah, that's right. You grandma. That's the obituaries.
Oh,
rest
come
in
on.
Peace, homies.
Come on. That's awesome.
Thanks, guys. And by the way, how'd that music sound?
Oh, it was fly.
That was me. I'm not kidding. I did that music.
What?
Because, listen.
Wait,
you
created that music on a keyboard?
I did it all myself. My thing is I want to make the easiest, cheapest show possible.
Right.
I'm like, I can play keyboard. I know how to program drums on a computer. Why am I going to pay some guy $10,000 to do it? I'll just do it myself and save money.
See? There
exactly.
you go. So you're your music director as well.
Listen, I love people talking. I'm a big fan of Louis. I love the show.
Louis C.K.,
talk,
right?
Yeah, Louis C.K. They always talk. He's a writer, actor, director. Listen, I'm that and composer.
Right.
So I'm doing it all. So why?
Would you say you're better than Louis C.K.?
Yes. No, not
I'm
at
good
all,
with
but,
that.
But
episode number one is Ben buys a gun, and then do I have this right? Episode number two is you join a band, right?
I form a band.
Starts
because
a band.
I was saying I was a musician,
oh, that's awesome.
So long story short, I don't get a lot of girls. So I thought a way to get women would be to form a band. So we form a band to try to get girls. I don't want to, you know, give away the ending, but I didn't get any girls.
Okay. You just gave away the ending.
Yeah.
Shocking.
Yeah. But it's still it's the journey that's the fun part.
Thursday nights at 10 on Comedy Central. You'll love it. Trust us on this one. The Ben Show with Ben Hoffman. Ben, thanks for coming in, man. We enjoyed it.
Thanks so much for having me, guys. It was great.
Oh, I hate you guys. You made me get up so early.
guys, I wasn't supposed to be here for 10 more minutes, and now I'm in here early to do the showbiz beat. What's up?
Oh, I had to get up so early.
Hi, it's Kat. Hi, it's Kat. Oh. Hi, it's Kat. Hi, it's Kat.
She was actually saying that off the air.
Yeah, she was.
And literally, she starts her shift in 10 minutes.
Seriously, Kat. And why? Because you were out late in Orange County last night? Well, look at Chip, who was playing guitar, bass, on stage until freaking midnight last night and was here at 5 a.m. Look at that.
I was watching her. She was, like, doing the, like, standing on the edge of the stage in the audience, like, bobbing her head, like, come on, people.
What were you doing? You were just standing there like the white girl you are.
I was drinking a beer.
We appreciate you dragging your carcass in here 10 extra minutes early to do the showbiz beat, but Ralph will be back tomorrow, we're told. Here's Kat filling in. What's going on?
And then I heard Lisa Mays on here. I'm like, do I have to do traffic, too? Like,
you can if you'd like.
You got to do it all.
Falling apart.
Yes, we are. No one wants to work with us anymore.
Apparently not. I hear you're very difficult. I would like to actually give a shout-out to the OC Music Awards. I had a great time last night at the House of Blues in Anaheim. To all the bands, and congrats to Robert, John, and The Wreck for winning the live slot. They're going to be performing
at the awards. So does that mean they're
better
than Fiction Reform, Chip's band?
No, just the judges collectively.
Thought they were better than Chip's band?
And
Fiction
I was not
Reform?
A judge. I took myself out. I didn't want there to be any impropriety because I know Chip.
So it's a valid win, then, for the other band, not Chip's band. You're saying it wasn't tainted in any way by anyone, that it was an actual vote, and it's upright, and it should stand.
They are different.
Chip's band lost. That's what you're saying.
Because they're not as good as the group that won.
They do have a crazy Asian bass player who, like, looks like he's having an epileptic fit while he's playing.
Gotta step it up, Chip.
If you can get one of those, maybe. All right. But thanks to everybody. The award show is actually March 9th at the City National Grove of Anaheim. So I'll see you there.
Now, what sound effect are we using? Are we using this? Are we using Hi, It's Kat? That?
Do that one. I like that one.
What do you want? Bean, you have the That's Kat from South by Southwest.
This just in, although I'd like to yawn over this story. Scott Weiland has been terminated.
Oh, no.
Not killed. He's just been fired from STP.
I didn't realize STP was still together.
I didn't either. I mean, did you?
No.
Have they been playing a lot of shows? Or?
Well, up until... apparently, Slash started the rumor a while ago that he had been canned from the band.
But
and Scott was like, yes. And Scott was like, no, I'm in the band. Up until yesterday, he was still like, I have not quit. I have not been fired. It's all good. And then... this morning, Stone Temple Pilots released that they have officially terminated Scott Weiland.
Well, I'm very sad about that.
His part in the band.
Yes.
Yes. You keep saying terminated Scott Weiland.
I'm sad about that because I love Scott as a human. I really do genuinely like the guy so much.
Yes.
And I know he's...
got demons.
He's struggled, man. Yeah. He's had his demons and... it's tough. It's tough for him. And I know he loves those guys, and they love him, and I want him to be able to be together and be happy and healthy. It just doesn't seem like that's in the cards.
I agree. Scott's supposed to start a solo tour next month. So, Kevin, you'll be coming with me, right? We'll go check that out later.
Here's all I'll say about that. He was made to be the lead singer of Stone Temple Pilots.
Yes.
He really was. And so it is a big shame that it didn't work out.
An awful... all right, I'll move on. Well, I'm filling in for Ralph Garman. Of course, a Charlize Theron story has to pop up in my showbiz beat. Did you know this? That pre-Oscars, a security guard suffered a seizure and collapsed, and Charlize rushed to his aid.
What?
Yes!
She's the perfect human being.
She is. Know.
She looks like that, and she's rescuing guards.
I'm thinking, you know, because of all the flashbulbs,
Oh, sure.
Like our on-air light that will give everyone a seizure.
That's the reason for it, yeah.
And what about her ballroom dancing on stage with Channing Tatum at the Oscars? Who knew she had that in her?
I would hit that, is what I'm
saying.
Pretty
impressive.
Yes.
I would hit that as well. We agree.
I just would like to see the surprise on her face when she realized the security guard was Ralph Garman, because then that was weird and awkward.
Oh, help me.
I found this cute, quick story. Jimmy Johnson, the winner of the Daytona 500. First of all, I didn't know that race was 4 hours long.
Oh, yeah.
I had no idea.
It's crazy, yeah.
I thought it was like, zip, zip, you're done.
No, it's not a...
It's not a sprint.
I didn't realize it was the cannonball run.
You know what the 500 is? The 500 is not yards. You know that, right?
You thought it was just somebody pulling into a parking space? You thought that was the whole race?
I mean, a few laps. I didn't realize.
We are talking to Jimmy Johnson tomorrow morning.
All right. Well, TMZ has a video of Jimmy Johnson answering questions. And one of the guys asked him, what do you do when you have to go to the bathroom?
Uh-huh.
And Jimmy says, well, some guys just go.
Yep.
Just go.
Does that mean he does?
He said he didn't.
Yeah.
He hasn't.
Liar.
I know.
That's a long, grueling race.
Yes,
look,
it is.
He's got a bottle. He's got to have something in the car, right? In case he needs it. But
doesn't racing take more attention? Like, you wouldn't be able to hit a bottle, right?
Maybe he has those astronaut diapers.
Could be.
Oh, there you go.
Ooh.
That could be. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's move on to birthdays.
Well, we'll ask him tomorrow about that anyway and find out if he actually has or needs a diaper.
But that has to be the most boring question in the world for a race car driver. They must get asked that every
I don't believe his
day.
Answer, though. I don't believe his answer.
Right.
He's been a racer for a long time.
Yeah.
He's lying.
That's a long time to hold it.
That's right.
Let's get to the celebrity birthdays, shall we? Basketball Hall of Famer James Worthy is a star. He's 52.
Hey, Kat.
Yeah.
No.
You're going to have time to take a nap before your shift begins? You must be exhausted getting here so early and working so hard. I mean, this was an ordeal for you to have to go survive all of this.
Do you see the luggage under my eyes right now?
But you've been talking on the radio for like 6 minutes. You have to be wiped.
I'm kind of exhausted. A disco nap is in order, maybe around 9:55. Okay. Actor Donna Logue, who a lot of people know from Sons of Anarchy. Also, my favorite was his initial thing as Jimmy the Cab Driver. Do you guys remember that from MTV? Yep.
That's right.
He was all sweaty and greasy, but somehow still great. Let me see. Atlanta Falcons tight end Tony Gonzalez, who is a graduate of Huntington Beach High School, is 37. Chelsea Clinton, 33.
That's hard to believe, isn't it?
Yeah, it is kind of crazy.
Remember when she was just the White House dog? And now look at her. It's a grown-ass woman.
Come on, you have to finish, Kat.
I'm so sorry, Chelsea. Oh, my God.
She's not listening.
Josh Groban is 32. Jared Champion of Cage Elephant is 30. And actress Kate Mara from American Horror Story, So Scary,
that is a great show.
30. And that is the Showbiz Beat, as done by your pal, Kat Cornick.
Thank you, Kat.
Go take a rest. Seriously. You really
Lay down
for a minute.
I'm already napping in my head right now.
All right. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. We have comedian Nathan Fielder on the program. We have Dr. Drew with our weekly talk with him. We're going to ask him if he's killed anyone lately. We have Rainn Wilson, who plays Dwight Schrute on The Office. And we are going to talk to the aforementioned Jimmy Johnson about peeing in his car and other aspects. Did you see the Saturday race where they had that giant accident right before the end line, finish line, and the wheel in and the crowd?
And by the way, this is a serious question. I really don't know the answer to this. You know how when you go to a baseball game and somebody foul balls, you get to keep it as a souvenir? If a car ends up in the grandstand, do you get to take that tire home? Like, is that yours to keep?
Do you think their little kids are rushing after it with a glove?
That's what I'm wondering. I don't know what the policy is on something like that.
I think if it's embedded in your skull, you do get to take it home.
You take it to the hospital room first and then home. Anyway, that's tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. Thank you, Kat.